much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Well, this won't take long. I'm just gonna say the same thing to you I said to him.
Now take it easy, Diane, and let's just sit down and have a nice, simple chat. You got any coffee?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
The owners of the tree, fifth generation bonsai masters, would like to send a message to the tree. Quote, are you at least getting enough water? End quote.
Okay, kids, you are now a boy band. Huh? You're the bad boy. You're the hot one. You're the pirate. You're the gay guy. You gay?
No.
Any you guys gay?
No.
Okay, congrats. You're the gay one. And you're the dud. All right, welcome to the first day of the rest of your life.
And now.
I wish I had the kind of brain that could be happy living here, but then I wouldn't be able to read.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday morning, the 25th of February.
Hey, kids.
Hello.
Hey.
How was everybody's weekend?
Great.
It was good.
Mm-hmm. Anyone do anything fun?
Went and looked for furniture.
Yes!
Woo! Yeah.
Why didn't you call me?
Here's the thing. Is that I had too many people in my car. I already had a huge group that was going to watch us shop for furniture. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that
rain check.
Is that something you and your wife easily agree on, or is there a struggle to get a consensus on various pieces that you come across?
Well, I learned this. I don't really have an opinion at all about them, but I enjoy being in the discussion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that's probably not a good idea if I don't really have a feeling.
So shut your mouth if you don't really care that much?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if I have a real thing, like I don't like this, then I should bring that up, which I probably won't have much. But if she just goes, do you think this is too big? And I go, yeah, it probably is too. I mean, don't do that. Just, if I don't care, just say okay.
I'm telling you, Jensen, I've been married a long time.
Yeah.
You can't not have an opinion on things. You have to just guess what she wants you to say and say it.
Yeah, that is a good opinion.
That's the only opinion that matters.
Yeah. So I will go. I'll just go, she'll go, what do you think of this? And I go,
what do you think?
I don't like, I love. And I watch as her eyes get big or small, and I go, I like it, I like. She goes, good, I like it too. That's what I have to do now.
Yeah, that's right.
I realize that.
You got to read the room.
Yeah.
I just agree with you, honey.
Yeah.
It's another very useful phrase to know.
All right, good one too.
How about you, Kevin? What'd you do?
I played poker on Friday night.
Oh, how did it go with the guys that out?
It was fun. A lot of people there.
Yeah.
Had a great time.
Yeah. I'm not hearing winning.
What?
What?
I'm not hearing cash.
Define winning.
Did you leave with
money? You have a great time? And you had a lot of great people and some drinks?
True.
You had a fun night?
You won.
I won.
Yeah.
So he lost. So he lost?
Yeah.
Yeah, he lost overall.
Pretty big, it looks like. Yeah.
How quickly was the beer mug out of chips?
After me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because usually he's awful, right?
Yeah.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
I saw David posted a couple pictures, and in one, there was a woman next to him, and I was like, how'd she get in there to guys' night out?
It's guys and girls.
And anyone can go, Allie. I'm like, no, it's guys' night out. I don't understand. And he goes, and by the way, she totally beat us. I'm like, oh, that's why women aren't invited.
Because they're better.
That's how it goes, you know.
How about you, Allie?
I had a lovely brunch with some friends, and then I had very white. And I had a lovely dinner with some friends as well. A lot of eating.
I love food weekends.
A lot of chit-chat. And watched the Oscars yesterday, knowing the exact moments Kevin wanted to off himself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, there were times where he had a noose. There's no question about that. I just spent the weekend campaigning for menstrual equality, like I do. I
was good. Okay, back on that.
Big weekend for you then, yeah.
It's been my cause, you know. speaking of the Oscars, I know we have many segments planned today. Kevin did bring in some, generously volunteered to bring in some highlights from the Academy Awards last night. So I know
we
have
volunteer?
And I don't want to step on, I don't want to step on any of your commentary
step
or
away,
clips.
Sir.
But Green Book, I know you have strong feelings, Jensen.
Yeah.
You may have to enlighten me a little bit because I've read a lot about how the air went out of the room when that movie won last night. And by the way, I would not have voted for it for Best Picture of the Year. Mm-hmm. But I didn't dislike it. In fact, I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed Viggo and Mahershala's performances very much.
Oh, yeah. I did like the acting, yes.
Yeah, I thought it wasn't a perfect movie. It wasn't a classic movie, but I thought it was a very good movie. So I understand the disappointment with it winning the Best Picture Academy when you had real groundbreakers like Roma and Black Panther and yes. Black Klansman. I totally get why people are disappointed that it won. Mm-hmm. What I don't get is the people who hated it or the people who really are mad at it. Can you help me with that?
Every single project on Earth, you can find people who hate it and are mad at it.
This one's pretty universal, though. As far as like film people don't like, I mean, just a very heavy-handed. It's very obvious in a sense of old white Hollywood. It's sort of a white savior story, which mm-hmm. we've had for years and years and years. It's nothing new. But I just think when it's up against those other films that have more to say or something
that mean more in the time,
yeah, it's just like whatever. We're going to look back at that movie and not think it was a best picture. That's
I totally agree with you.
It's
on
not
that.
Timeless at all.
What was your problem with the movie, though? I mean, you mentioned the white savior thing, but I was thinking about this because I feel like Viggo's character, and by the way, for folks who don't know, Mahershala Ali plays a musician who hires Viggo Mortensen, a white driver, to drive him. He's an African-American musician to drive through the Deep South in the 60s. Okay, that's what the movie's about. So it's a, you know, it could have been a very heavy race relations movie, and it's kind of not.
Mm-hmm, no.
But I felt like Viggo learned as much or more from Mahershala's character than the other way around. It's not like Viggo came in and just saved the day.
Absolutely.
And he was the white savior. You
and,
know what I mean?
And I think that's true to an extent. I just also think, you know, having the family of the jazz musician come out and say that's not necessarily how it happened.
To have like Mahershala Ali call the family and essentially apologize for the movie.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
It's not a best picture. I'm sure it's a movie.
Is it a best picture nominee that you're fine with that?
No,
not even
the acting for sure. I think the acting.
I mean, I feel
like
it's about the acting
for a supporting actor or something like that. Yes, to me, I don't think that should have been nominated. I don't think Bohemian Rhapsody should have been nominated. I don't think A Star Is Born should have been nominated.
Well, now you're just being mean.
Those three in a best picture category is just insane.
Yeah, Bohemian Rhapsody winning Best Editing is crazy because people have been posting editing clips from that movie as like jokes for the last.
It's pretty
herky
jerky,
And they also had to edit around firing a director 80% in.
Yeah,
so it can't be that. I mean, they have no coverage.
Or maybe
that's why they get the award.
They're like, listen, you took two films, you slapped it together. Yeah. Congrats,
that is good work.
It's
not the best. Being just to give you an overall, it's just not the best picture of the year.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. Look, again, I came out of the gate saying it absolutely should not have won Best Picture. I'm just trying to figure out why there was so much hate. Well, Ali, what was your big problem with Green Book?
Everything that was just said. Times a million. It just came off like you knew everything that was going to happen in the movie. You were like, oh, here, okay, all right, here, yep, there you go. It was just like they took it and said, how do we make this movie so people feel real good about themselves after?
It's odd. And also, like, I look back on movies, and I doubt this is blasphemous, but I look back at a movie like Crash, and I can't believe that won Best Picture.
Well, that's what people were comparing this to last night.
And I feel that. I just feel that way about this. It's just like, man, we really just pick schlocky.
Right.
Like, it feels manipulative in a way, and that was, I think, what a lot of people took from it.
I saw somebody, a critic, tweet last night. Remember when Green Book won Best Picture from 2018? Boy, was that choice dated. So I guess we've come to that conclusion already. It would have been nice to see some of those others win, that's for sure. But we'll talk more about the Academy Awards, obviously, throughout the day. And I know we have a guest in the whole deal. But I was curious since I knew we had a little bit of time here to get y'all's take on that. I see what you're saying.
I don't know if you saw The Hollywood Reporter, how they basically said, just so you know, there might be a big shocker for the best picture.
Is that right?
And they broke down how the voting goes. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say I didn't follow all of it, but I didn't because it's just math and how they have to then switch up. If most got this vote and most got this vote, they get put in this. And it all is crazy the way they voted for it. So what you voted for probably didn't win.
Well, they ranked them first through eighth. And then lop off the bottom one and then keep ranking them until somebody gets 51% is how I understand it.
And if you don't get the 51%, those at the top move into a different category of it.
So you don't need to be anybody's favorite movie, but you can be a lot of people's third favorite movie.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Gross.
Well, I think this is why we get rid of the Electoral College, you guys, and just go to the popular vote.
That's a different...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a different way.
I was on board.
whatever we need to do.
Yes, let's do that.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
I have diarrhea.
Oh, Jensen. It's weird.
Quite an update.
Yeah.
We have animal stories or Florida, Bean?
Animal stories.
Animal
today.
Stories.
All
today.
In Florida.
Yes.
It's weird.
Some of them are.
Oh, no.
We've got Oscar highlights, like Bean mentioned, coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. We also have Matt Bellany from The Hollywood Reporter. So maybe he can explain that simpler terms.
It's still crazy to me that Matt comes and does our show the day after the Oscars because he's up at the parties until midnight, you know?
We have a K-Rock screening of Captain Marvel we're going to give you tickets to.
Ooh, that's a big one. That's a movie everyone can agree on.
Right. We have Misheard Lyrics. We're going to talk to Mark Hoppus from Blink-182.
Yeah.
He tweeted something out that we thought was very funny. And great news, because it's Monday. We'll take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
This K-Rock Wheels Up 2019, you know how we send folks to Europe or to Australia and we let them be on the ground for like 21 hours?
Yeah, they have to fly for 3 days. Mm-hmm. They're on the ground for 20 hours, and then we put them right back on a plane.
Right. Well, this week we're giving away tickets to the Bottle Rock Festival in Napa Valley, which is what, about a four-hour drive from here? We're giving you a four-night hotel stay and round-trip airfare.
Well, it's a three-day show.
It is a three-day shoot, yes.
Yes.
Over 80 bands, including Bishop Briggs, Pharrell Williams, Cypress Hill, Lovely the Band, Imagine Dragons, Mumford & Sons, an unbelievable lineup this year.
So you're saying travel-wise, everyone else gets screwed, and this is much better.
Yeah.
Travel-wise.
It's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Four nights in Napa? Why not? So that's all week long here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Although it's not. I guess now that I read the paperwork, it's listen to K-Rock all week at 5 p.m. for your chance to win. So I think we get hosed on this one.
Real. This has been a real roller coaster.
Bean's working this out as we go.
I should have looked at this before I went on the air.
Maybe glance.
I'm going to be honest with you. This is a better picture than Green Book, whatever you just wrote.
So, 5 o'clock. Hey, say hi to Stryker Force. Allie, what's happening?
That was cool. That was rough. Journey.
But I didn't realize that they changed it up.
Listen, we're not on until 6. No one heard it.
No one heard it.
That's why we have this run-through.
Exactly. Rehearsal. Yeah. I have to say, though, I did look into going to Bottle Rock Napa, and I was looking at places to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Everything sold out. So then I looked at Airbnb. Oh, you Napa people. I see what you're doing.
Why?
I'm like, should a room in a house that I have to share with everyone else be $1,100 a night?
Holy cow.
I just don't feel like it should.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I was like, all right, guys, we're not going to Bottle Rock.
I mean, can they get it? Maybe.
Absolutely. Maybe. Yeah. Yes.
Not from you.
Not from me.
I suddenly have an awful lot of new neighbors during Mardi Gras every year.
Sure.
Oh, I bet.
I'll tell you that.
I bet.
Oh, yeah. It's my cousin's place. You'll hear that a lot.
Yeah, people I've never seen before all of a sudden.
Right. All right, you guys, let's talk some Oscars. First of all, what you guys think, hostless Oscars?
Fine with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I realized halfway through, this is way better than a bad host.
That's true.
Yes.
Not as good as a good host, but way better than a bad host.
But I'll tell you,
so fine with it.
Having that quote-unquote, using air quotes, opening monologue from Tina, Maya, and Amy did make me wish they would come back
same.
At some point.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you? Oh, please, God.
They didn't want to do
so
it.
Good.
They didn't want to do it. And for good reason. It's a boring job.
I will tell you that I thought it moved better. Mm-hmm. It was shorter than usual.
Yeah.
I did kind of miss that there was, you know, with the exception of Melissa McCarthy, there was no comedy. Really?
No, except for the girl, the women up front.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I did miss some laughs along the way, which you used to get with the tape pieces and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But in general, if they went to a no host forever, I think I'd be okay with it.
Same. And I think it sets a great tone when you now open every award show with Queen. I think it's gonna be.
I don't think
real...
they'll open every award show with that.
Though. Oh no!
No, no. I think it was specifically.
But every award show will have two American Idol contestants perform.
As well,
so
it should.
You have to pick two.
Right? It was Jennifer Hudson and him.
And him, yeah.
Adam Lambert, though, that voice.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah. But that facial hair needs some work.
Nah, he's wonderful, just the way he is.
I thought that was an inspired decision to have Queen open the show.
I agree.
Yeah, I would not have went. Had you pitched it to me, I would have said, no way, please don't do that.
Yeah.
And it went all right.
I thought it was awesome.
It was funny to see, like, A-Rod dancing to Adam Lambert, though.
Yeah.
Like in any other case, none of these people would see Adam Lambert perform.
For sure.
But they loved watching him.
Yeah.
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 I wondered how they were going to start. It's a difficult decision with a no host, so I think that was a good choice.
Well, I'm excited to see Bo Bice at the Golden Globes next year. So.
Oh, dear. Well, let's talk about some winners. We briefly went over it before, but Best Picture went to Green Book.
Yeah.
Director Alfonso Cuarón for Roma. He's such a babe.
Love that.
I just have to keep saying it.
His embrace with Guillermo del Toro was very nice.
I loved it.
Good hug.
I loved all the hugs.
Guillermo del Toro came out. I was like, I'm not feeling well. I have bad disease. I should not have
temperature.
Come. Yeah, no one used this mic after me.
It was a lot.
I make a vomit at backstage. I have a diarrhea out of my pants. I was like, well, you're really going into the sickness. My family was sick. My children are all infected.
If he said all that, I'm not hugging him.
No.
That's my move.
I was like, you really didn't have to come. Like, you could have stayed at home.
I mean, you wanted to. I thought that was nice, but yeah.
Oh, actor in a leading role, Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody. Actress in a leading role, Olivia Colman.
I have a whooping cough. I have been coughing up blood into a white handkerchief.
Oh, jeez.
Means I'm dying.
Oh, dear. By the way, Olivia Colman with the best speech of the night, for sure.
Agreed.
Supporting actress, Regina King. Oh,
well deserved.
God, smooth. I love her so
love
much.
Her too.
Supporting actor, Mahershala Ali. Original screenplay.
Before you move on, Ellie.
Yes.
Has anyone in 91 years of Oscars ever looked less happy to be receiving an Oscar than Mahershala Ali?
He hated the movie he was in.
I think that's what it was. I honestly think he smiled.
Yes.
I know. I don't think he... I think he's bummed.
Between that and
the co-star
saying
the N-word and Viggo Mortensen, I mean, there's a lot of weird
stuff. Every shot of his wife, whenever the producers would talk, his wife was like, I hate being here. I hate being here for this movie.
I mean, I know he's won before, but still, you can be excited about winning an Academy Award, even if there are some things in the movie that are problematic that they're not. None of them are your fault.
I remember him being on stage for Moonlight, and he, like, loved it.
Mm-hmm. Were you hoping when they announced Green Book as Best Picture that Jimmy Kimmel was going to walk out and be like, sorry, wrong envelope?
I missed that.
Yeah,
it didn't happen. It's still the Best Picture. Original song, of course, went to Shallow, A Star is Born.
It's a good film.
Good Lord, those two performing,
great performance.
Right?
They're
not helping, room already.
Not helping the dating rumors.
No. Although I wound up posting on my stories, I said one of these people is in love. The other is a great actor.
Yeah.
Because, the love in Lady Gaga's eyes looking at Bradley Cooper. That's, you can't fake that.
Guys, the love in all of our eyes looking at Bradley Cooper, all right? Let's just admit it.
He's cool.
He's pretty dreamy.
Makeup and hairstyling, we've got to go over that speech, I hope, from the people that won for Vice.
Worst speech in the Academy Awards.
It's why they wanted to do it during commercials.
I can't figure out. I have like a minute and a half of that.
It's
magic all the way through.
Insane.
I can't figure out how to cut it.
They're whispering to each other, but you hear the whispering.
It's unbelievable.
It's
you read it. I read it. You read it. No, I read it.
I said that.
The worst thing I've ever
seen. It's the worst
ever
thing
seen,
ever
seen.
Worst.
But be sure to cut Spike Lee off when he wins his first Oscar because he's going a little long. But let those three do their 8-minute chunk on reading names. Good God.
It was awful.
That was the worst, you guys.
By the way, Spike Lee's speech was also awful. I'm sorry. I know that's unpopular opinion because he's beloved.
He was having a problem getting into it.
I think it was a swing and a miss. He went for it and just
he was very nervous, which I was shocked to see. But I think it was all there. I don't think he said it right.
Right.
By the way, he won his first Oscar for the adapted screenplay of Black Klansman, an animated feature film, of course, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which probably could have...
Yeah, no kidding.
Best Picture.
It's nominated,
I mean,
at least.
If we're being honest here.
Yeah.
Green Book. All right. We're going to talk more about the Oscars, including Rami Malek doing his impression of Bean, right? Just tumbling off the stage. What's he doing?
We're going to talk
about that coming up in just a bit. But why did I call him Rami Malek?
Not sure.
Malek.
That's weird. That's going to bug me all day. And probably a few of you. Go ahead and email me. Some birthdays for you. Sean Astin, Rashida Jones, Chelsea Handler, Ric Flair, and Jamila Jamil.
By the way, if you want to relive the embarrassment I had of being Ray's phone-a-friend, that audio is up at the Kevin Bean Instagram page. Apparently, it's pretty strong. Popular over the weekend.
It was pretty strong.
Really enjoyed it.
Let's be honest. It was pretty strong.
I got a lot of boxes. So, Kevin, you drew the short straw last night. It was your turn to watch the Academy Awards, bring in some highlights. There were some highlights, at least, this year, right?
Yeah, I thought one of the biggest highlights was way early in the night and made me want for a completely different Oscars, and that's with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler and Maya Rudolph.
And now, please welcome Tina Fey, Maya Rudolph, and Amy Poehler.
Good evening, and welcome to the 1,000,000th Academy Awards. We are not your hosts, but we're going to stand here a little too long so that the people who get USA Today tomorrow will think that we hosted.
So just a quick update for everybody in case you're confused. There is no host tonight. There won't be a popular movie category, and Mexico is not paying for the wall.
Now, let me ask you guys a question. Didn't that sort of, not ruin, but don't you think the Oscars would have been better had they hosted?
I mean, yes.
Because to me, that was hilarious, and it made me want the rest of the Oscars to go that way, and they didn't.
They don't want to do it, man.
Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, and Maya Rudolph are three entertainers who never miss.
No.
They are always funny.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that was a mistake to put them at the beginning? Because I do.
Well, no.
Because that made me wish, oh man, I wish you were hosting.
But they needed funny up top because that's what we all know. And that,
yeah, they were trying to replace the monologue, right.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I knew after Queen came out and rocked, and then those ladies got up there and did their comedy, I thought, okay, now for 2 hours it's going to be really, really boring.
Yeah.
They do put all of the boring ones together.
Yeah.
I've never understood why you don't scatter the important ones at least every, third, fourth award.
Yeah. Why is the last half hour all the biggest ones?
I don't know. I can't figure that out.
They usually try to drop that supporting in early.
That's always first. Supporting actress is always first.
But it does. I mean, and then they hold mail till later. It's
all right. Tell me what you guys thought about this,
ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Mike Myers and Dana Carvey.
We're not worthy.
I think I'm gonna hurl.
Thoughts.
Is there something, I mean, I don't know how to say this. Is there something weird about Mike Myers?
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Something about him looks weird.
Yeah, 2019 Mike Myers, difficult to get behind.
I think he looks more like that fake character that he plays on that game show than he looks like himself anymore.
He looks like the Gong Show host?
Yes. I can sum up that, that presentation
Thank
for
you.
Him.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah, I think
don't hurl, because if you honk, I'll spew.
Yeah.
You remember that one, right, guys? That was a hit.
They were, bringing out the fact that Bohemian Rhapsody was up for Best Movie, so they wanted some correlation.
Right,
I get why they did it. I mean, it's not an awful booking, but I just think it didn't play well.
Okay.
I think we're all past it.
Yeah, it felt a little like they came out in their varsity jackets, but they're like 45-year-old dudes at the reunion.
And characters that were 20 years ago.
Yeah. Although I do love Dana Carvey.
Same. But I think that may not have been the best use of him. All right, let's get to the worst acceptance speech, because this is one of my highlights.
Of all time.
Oof.
This is for makeup and hairstyling for Vice. It's Greg Canham, Kate Disco, and Patricia Dehaney. And they have one sheet of paper with names.
Yeah.
And there's no order that they've decided on beforehand. Mm-hmm. And this might be the worst ever.
Thank you, Annapurna, our great director, Adam McKay. Christian Bale, you're here.
Okay, now he realizes there's someone else on the stage with him.
Which leads me to believe that he had written it and hadn't shown it to either of those two ladies before.
Well, that would explain if his writing was poor.
Yes. Right.
And I also feel like they're not friends.
I don't think they've ever chatted, three.
Oh, you're here.
Go ahead.
Now they're looking at the paper and he's going, go ahead.
Yeah. And she's like, I can't read your writing.
I can't.
Yeah.
That's you. Please read that.
No, I already did.
Oh,
go ahead.
You read that. I already did.
Go ahead.
You go.
Plan B, Gary Sanchez.
Third person.
The voting Academy members,
Christian Bale, you're fantastic. You're so great to work with. And
I'd just like to suggest that you already thanked Christian Bale. Did he not?
This is awful.
He started that sentence earlier and then got cut off cut himself off when he realized that.
You're great to work with.
Oh, you're here, everybody.
Sam Rockwell and the 150 other SAG members. Great job. Susan Matheson.
Jeff Waxman and
Jennifer Maidloff.
Jennifer Matteloff.
They're now telling him what to say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
And then they get played off.
Our DP, Greg Frazier, our script D, Kate.
Ann Paula Williams, Jamie Kelman, Adrian Moreau, Wesley Wofford, Christina Waltz.
Chris Gallagher.
Thank you for your time. We're out of time.
It was not.
It was awful.
Good.
They sound like drunk NPR hosts.
Good times.
Thank you. And by the way, biggest moment of their whole lives. How are they going to feel when they sit down and watch this?
Oh, I think they'll love it.
The tape, guys. What's the answer to? And forgive me for asking this exact question every year. What's the answer to stars or non-stars reading long lists of names on the Academy Awards?
No. Nobody in that audience wants to hear you naming your makeup artist and your hairdresser and your eighth agent.
Here's how you have to do it this way. You have to say, no one thanks names. No one. Mm-hmm. You don't give a name when you stand up there. If no one does it, everybody's... Right. They can do it backstage. They can whatever they want to do, but don't put it on the telecast.
While we're playing, you know, fantasy Oscar production, I also want to say only one person from your group can speak.
I like
it. Pick a person.
Create your spokesperson. Mm-hmm. Pick them.
Yeah.
Take it in.
Because you can see like one person was talking for too long and the other people were looking at him like, hey, I'd like a shot here.
And here's an idea. When you do win, maybe don't get up and hug everyone in your seating section and then make your way to the stage. Get up there a little quicker. You can do the hugs afterwards.
Yeah, just because you and Olivia Colman are both famous doesn't mean you got to give a handshake.
We don't need it.
Speaking of Olivia Colman.
She's great.
Gem.
For, in my opinion, the best accepted speech.
I agree. Hers and Lady Gaga's were the two best of the night. Hers was delightful.
Actress in a leading role for The Favorite, and this is her.
It's genuinely quite stressful. I have to thank lots of people. Yorgos, my best director. I'm with Emily and Rachel, the two loveliest women in the world to fall in love with. To be in this category with these extraordinary women and Glenn Close, you've been my idol for so long, and this is not how I wanted it to be, and I think you're amazing. I love you very much.
Can you stop right there?
Glenn Close now 0-7 at the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
Amy Adams now 0-6 at the Academy Awards. What's it take to win an Oscar?
Yeah.
Olivia Colman.
And Olive and Hildy, my mum and my dad.
you know them.
Don't make me say it.
My kids are at home and watching. Look, well, if you're not, then well done. But I sort of hope you are. This is not going to happen again.
This is the opposite of the Mahershala Ali speech, by the way. The exact opposite. She has so much joy and so much surprise. And it was interesting to me because she is one of the most decorated actresses of our time. I think she's won 3 BAFTAs, the British equivalent of the Academy Awards. So she's no stranger to accepted speeches.
Yeah.
But it sounded like every word of that was sincere and heartfelt.
But you can win 20 BAFTAs and and you win an Academy Award. It's a whole different ballgame. Anyone will tell you from England. But it's just, it's a whole different ballgame. The Oscars are a bigger deal than the BAFTAs ever will be.
I'm saying is she's won a lot of awards.
Yeah, she's in Peep Show, probably the most decorated British television show ever. I mean,
and Broadchurch.
Yeah, this
and
is a big
Flowers.
Deal.
Yeah. And Fleabag.
Yeah.
I'm just going to name everything.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's happening.
Hot Fuzz.
Can you go to Rami Malek? I just have one more clip I want to play because it was odd to me.
Oh, my God. My mom is in here somewhere. I love you. I love you, lady.
All right, now listen. There's always that person at an award show that goes, woo!
Right.
Partway through.
Right.
Listen to the timing.
My family, thank you for all of this. You know, my dad didn't get to see me do any of this. He's not...
But
there's no way she heard that, right?
I don't think that might, that could be his dad.
Oh.
Yeah, from heaven.
Oh. Didn't we have great news coming up just after the top of the hour here?
And we have animal stories right now. Hit it, Steve.
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for.
We had a 7-year-old come to our listener meetup in Atlanta when we were there for the Super Bowl who said that animal stories is his favorite thing on Kevin and Bean. So I'm sorry I don't remember his name, but I'm dedicating this edition to him, hoping he'll hear this on the podcast. Did you guys see Bam Bam, the dog that got his head stuck in the tire?
No. I did not.
What a dumb dog. He's 11 months old. First of all, why do you have a spare tire leg in your front yard? Second of all, how did Bam Bam get his head in there? They look outside and they see him laying in the yard with a spare tire around his neck. So they freaked out, as you can imagine. By the way, this happened down in Orange County. Not often do we get an animal story local, but they take Bam Bam to the vet. They had a specialist there who had never seen anything like that before, and they worked on trying to get, you know, using soap and water, whatever they could think of to try to get the dog's head out of the tire. They weren't able to do it, so they called in the fire department. Fire department came in and cut the tire off. Bam Bam is going to be fine. How is the vet charging $2,000 for that visit? When they didn't even get the dog's head out of the tire.
I don't know.
That's just rude.
That's odd.
Yeah.
I'm writing a strongly worded letter, by the way.
That Please should help do. A lot.
Yeah.
I think so.
That should fix it.
So if you think Bam Bam is dumb, and she is, here's a cat who says, hold my beer.
We told you about a dog who got stuck in a tire. Remember that? Well, today it's a cat stuck in a cinder block wall.
Okay, now.
Huh?
A cat stuck in a cinder block wall, crawled into a hole in a wall on a public street and couldn't get out, was stuck in there. Do you think because this is a cat story that they will mention how many lives a cat has?
Of course.
They have to. Yeah, it's in the handbook.
It's in the handbook when you become a newsreader?
Sure.
Yep. Okay.
LA County Department of Animal Care and Control rescued this cat yesterday. Bebbers from the Downey and Baldwin Park Centers carefully extract the cat from the wall. The good news is the cat's okay.
Oh, good.
And get this, they named him.
What did they name the cat that was stuck in the wall?
Oh, should we know this?
You should.
We should know this.
What did they name the cat that was stuck in the wall?
Yowie.
Wally.
So creative.
Wally.
They named him Wally,
guys. No.
Mean. That's a negative.
Come on.
How do you find that so funny?
Because it's so dumb.
No word on how he got himself stuck in the first place, but it's a good thing cats have 9 lives.
Oh, there it is.
Well played.
There it is, you guys. They saved her for the end. Oh, we should have bet on that. Nancy Cheryl Burgess Dismuke is a woman with too many names. She had been wrestling with her dogs outside her mobile home in South Carolina when neighbors noticed that something was wrong. The animals had turned on their owner. Authorities said the two dogs, both boxer mixes, became aggressive and killed her.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
And I bring this up, by the way. Amber Greer is another neighbor who called 911. She said it went like from looking like they were really playing to them eating her alive.
Oh, my God, Bean.
She was only 52, died of her injuries.
That's the worst story ever.
It's a terrible story, but I can't imagine. We all have pets or have had pets that we love, that we roughhouse with, that we think are on our side. They're our friends. They're our family. In a million years, you never expect that they're going to turn on you and eat you.
No, it wouldn't even come into my mind.
In a million years. And I'm sure that the morning that this lady woke up, her last day on Earth, she thought, I'm so lucky. I'm so blessed to have these wonderful pets. How does something like this happen?
You have just screwed everybody up today. Everyone's now looking across the bed at their little dog like, when's my time?
Right?
This is awful, Bean.
I know. Awful. A New Mexico woman is on a death.
Her last words were,
back to you. A New Mexico woman is on a desperate hunt for her disappearing pet that can't run fast and can't be missed. A 100-pound tortoise.
There was a windstorm in Roswell, New Mexico last month. Strong winds opened up a gate that housed him. This is Dusty, her tortoise, who strolled away from the backyard and into the desert during the storm. They have been looking for her ever since. How far can a 100-pound right? turtle go?
Saying.
I lost my turtle Moesha one time when I lived in Washington. And she was gone for like 4 days. And then we found her like, I don't know, within 10 feet of where she had
yeah,
lost.
I was going to say, you didn't do a real good check.
No, but she just crawled off into the bushes.
No. 4 days.
I mean, He'll 4 days she was gone. We found her like in the bushes 10 feet away. So how far away can this 100-pound tortoise be? And finally, this is my favorite story. This one comes out of Mississippi. You'll see.
Well, imagine dozens of vultures showing up on your roof, your backyard, even your fence posts, and they don't leave. You don't know why they're there, and you are scared. It happened to an 80-year-old DeSoto County woman.
It looked like I was being invaded by buzzards. You know, and I was like, God, what's all these buzzards doing out here?
I'm sorry to tell you, ma'am. The vultures know something that you
That's
don't know.
What I'm saying.
Oh, man.
I don't know if you know what vultures are famous for.
Oh, no.
But keep taking your vitamins.
80-year-old Alice Sturgill says dozens of buzzards, or vultures as they're actually known, set up camp in the trees around her DeSoto County home. It started in January. One day, she looked outside and they had come much closer, sitting on the fence posts, a very disconcerting sight. She says she is afraid to go outside.
I felt like they would pick me up and by my short carry me away.
She also thought she had been dropped into an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
That's what I thought about. You know, the movie The Birds, but only these things was bigger. It's scary. You see all those buzzards, all these big black things? It's scary.
All right, you don't have to get racist about it. So I think the message here is
she old,
right? Aww. This has been Animal Stories.
Animal stories in the news. Fine. Animal stories to cure your...
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Allie is here with another look at what's happening. Then we do some great news coming up right after the top of the hour because it is Monday. What's up, Allie?
Remember when you shouted out the little boy in Atlanta and then you read possibly the most devastating ever animal stories? Right. How do you think that went?
You know, I guess I should have rethought dedicating it to little Caleb, by the way, was his name. His mom let us know. I
dedicate this to Caleb. Her dogs ate her.
Ate her alive. Yeah. Perhaps I could have chosen a sunnier version of Animal Stories. I'm sorry you had to hear that, son.
Oh, you are a joy. You really are. Did you feel a special kinship last night to Rami Malek?
When I heard that he'd fallen off the stage, yeah. It's not ever fun when anyone does it.
I didn't see that.
No. And here's the strange thing. Depends on where you read it. It either happened right after he won Best Actor in a Lead Role or at the end of the whole ceremony together. So it's very strange when people said it happened. But
he wouldn't have been up on stage at the end of the
unless they took a picture of
all the winners, something.
I can't figure out, but... apparently, he tumbled off the stage and he looked around, surprised, was helped up, and then was moved into a chair in the front row. Injuries not immediately clear, but apparently fell off the stage.
It's easy to do, you guys. It's easy to do.
Yeah, not good. So... you guys probably saw that R. Kelly went to jail over the weekend.
Yeah.
And he's still in there.
Yes.
Canceled.
That's
very surprising to me that he hasn't made bail yet.
Yeah. He had a $1 million bond following his indictments Friday on 10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse. So you need to get 10% of that. That's $100,000. But then people are saying, plus you add up all of his back child support payments.
Oh.
And that's what he needs to get the money for as well. So apparently he's behind about $170,000 on child support payments and may remain in jail until he can pay that and his bail at the same time.
Isn't it shocking to you guys that he doesn't have that money?
Yes.
He goes through money fast.
Yeah.
I mean, he has to keep making it. So
yeah.
Don't free R. Kelly.
No. He had to pay off a lot of people. In the past.
Yeah.
So,
did you see the saddest story of the weekend, which is female fans of his wanted to help pay.
Oh, yeah.
Manson family.
Unbelievable.
It's insane.
Unbelievable.
To me. Absolutely insane. Want the latest on Jussie Smollett?
Does it get weirder?
Sure.
I'm telling you, this whole thing is just, it's bizarre. So remember when the head of Chicago police came out and said, and he paid a check for $3,500 for the two brothers to, you know, pull off this hoax, blah, blah, blah. Well, now they're disputing that, saying that that $3,500 was a check showing that amount made payable to two, to one of the men, also had written on it, 5-week nutrition workout program for Don't Go.
Well, also the brothers, who are their main source of tattling, basically,
yes,
are saying that check has nothing to do with it.
And they said to the grand jury, they said, no, yeah, that was for training.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you're already putting doubt in the minds of public opinion. You know, it's
which
not...
is all you need
wow.
to get.
Yeah.
I was going to say to get off. But in order, all you have to do is create reasonable doubt and you're a free man. So I feel like maybe that police officer saying in that press conference, and then he paid $3,500, you're giving wrong information.
It's a misstep.
It's a huge misstep, you guys.
That's not ideal.
What is going on?
And he's still denying it.
And they claim they have lots of other evidence, by the way, beyond the things they've already
text
made
messages.
Yeah. They say they've got a lot of other stuff.
So. Yeah. But all you need, again, is reasonable doubt.
Yep.
True.
Cuckoo. Absolutely cuckoo, you guys.
Yeah, the story, not done.
Not done. No. Not done at all. I have to give a shout out to J-Lo, because after presenting Best Production Design with Chris Evans at the Oscars, she reportedly reached into her purse and snacked on a plate of cheese that she had packed for herself.
I'm sorry?
Which I just respect on every level.
It's very nice.
To think ahead and think, I'm going to be hungry. I'm just going to have a little cheese plate in my purse. Kudos, you.
Also, does anyone seem like they're having a better time than A-Rod right now?
No. As well he should.
He's having a blast.
As well he should.
He didn't even have that much fun playing baseball.
No, that was the rap on
yeah,
him.
He was
the whole time he was in, is that he just seemed miserable and nobody liked him and his teammates didn't want to hang out with him. And
now he's standing up for Gladys Knight when Diana Ross.
Oh, just living.
Dancing. He's just living just life, living. Man.
Yeah.
Well, it might be fun to be going out with Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
You think?
Plus, it's boring as hell to play baseball.
Yeah.
It is.
So, you got that going for you.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Some birthdays for you. Jamila Jamil, Chelsea Handler, Rashida Jones, Sean Astin, and Ric Flair.
Woo!
Okay.
Our friend Matt Bellany from The Hollywood Reporter is going to join us next hour to talk all things Oscar. Also, we have tickets for, speaking of movies, Captain Marvel. Screening passes for Captain Marvel, one of the most anticipated films of 2019. We got that for you coming up later on this morning as well on K-Rock.
If you watch the news, it's super depressing. It's just one depressing story after another. Just beat you over the head. And that's why on Monday mornings, we like to do great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today. Great news!
All right, this is not going to sound like great news at the beginning.
Okay.
A woman is playing with her dog.
So
she's having the time of her life.
So don't judge.
Okay.
Trent Fielder is 44. He was paralyzed in 2011 by a rare condition called Guillain-Barré syndrome. I'm sure
Kevin,
I'm not saying that right.
God damn it.
The body's immune system mistakenly attacks parts of the nervous system, destroying nerves that allow the brain to communicate with his muscles.
Oh. So you hate this guy.
In 2012, he moved back to Texas, where he was raised, to try and get some help. And then his dad died. All right, I understand this is bad.
Oh, my gosh.
Shortly after that, he was diagnosed with another neurological disorder.
Kevin!
That worsened his paralysis.
You don't understand the feature.
Hold, please. In December 2013, he had surgery to make the pain better.
Uh-huh.
It failed and made the pain worse.
Oh, my gosh. Gosh.
And the doctor left a scalpel inside his body.
he says, I literally was thinking, I just want to die.
What's the point?
Then he saw his two kids, and it completely turned his entire body and mind around. He was like, I'm the luckiest person in the world to have these kids. So he started rehabbing for years. He had to learn to sit up. He had to learn to stand up. He had to learn to have good, you know, posture. Mm-hmm. He had to learn all these things. And he ended up, and this is where the good news part comes in, running a half Ironman marathon.
Oh, my.
Only half?
All right.
He made it 70.1 miles.
What?
Swimming and also biking with his specialized bicycle over dozens of miles. He made it 70.1 miles, and he had 0.2 to go, and he was out. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. This is what happened to him during the 70.1 miles. He tore his rotator cuffs and both biceps 17 miles in. At 57 miles in, he finally joined the foot race. It was in New Orleans, by the way, headed for the end of the marathon, and then he just stopped two-tenths of a mile short. First responders, servicemen and women, and police officers joined him as he fell behind the other runners. He thought, oh, they're going to tell me to quit.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to have to, and he was sobbing, I'm just going to have to tell them that I can't quit. I can't.
Right.
I have to finish this race. They surprised him because they said, we're going to help you. And they got alongside of him and they stood him up out of his wheelchair, one person on each side, and walked with him toward the finish line.
Yeah.
And as he got right up to the finish line, he let go of them. He can't feel anything below his waist now. He let go of them.
And had a heart attack.
And walked.
Oh.
And then broke into a slight jog and crossed the finish line.
Oh, man.
And did the Ironman half marathon.
Oh, man. That's unbelievable.
That dude, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
How many of us would have just felt so bad for ourselves and just wanted to quit?
Yeah, 8 bad things ago.
Right.
Yeah.
But that guy actually finished. He was very grateful to the first responders because their first thought was his first thought, which is, how can I finish?
Yeah.
And he did.
That's amazing.
And that's my great news. Most of it not great. Okay.
That was a Lady Gaga inspiration line, I got to tell you. Allie sent me this story last week, and I've been thinking about it a lot and thought it was worth sharing for great news. The man's name is Matt Chokri. He sells eBay stuff from his home in St. Louis, and he recently sold a VHS player to a man in Phoenix, Arizona for $40. Now, usually on eBay, you sell something, then you get an online review about the transaction. This guy instead got a typed letter in the mail. It turns out the person he sold the VCR to was an 86-year-old man named Don.
Who had his VCR stolen earlier in life, and he was suing.
Nope. It was his first ever purchase on eBay, and here's what the letter said. I found many old VHS tapes recently and wanted to see what is on them and realized I had no player, so I went to eBay for the first time and discovered your offer. I bought your player and you shipped it within a few days. It looks new and unused, amazing. I had some issues getting it going, which were mine and not the player. I'm 86 and perhaps not up to my game, but I do get there eventually, and I discovered the VHS works perfectly. Thank you so much for your care, your efforts, and your promptness. I watched tapes of my retirement party from 25 years ago, which I had never seen before. Geez, we were young. Then he's really going into a lot of detail from a guy who just sold him some junk, right? Then a tape of my wedding with all the family and friends, many of whom are no longer around. Then skiing trips, then kids growing up and travels, and most importantly, the gentle maturing of my family, each one more fun than the last, all thanks to your generous selling of the VHS player. I thought you would appreciate how much someone has enjoyed your offer. So you can imagine Matt gets this and he just starts weeping because, you know, to him it was just another transaction. He realizes how much it meant to this old man, 86 years old. They are now friends, by the way. They are pen pals. The man who sold the VCR has framed the letter and put it in his house because it means so much to him, and he has offered to digitize the videos of the man on the other side of the country so that he doesn't have to worry about his VHS tapes degrading.
That's fantastic.
How beautiful is that?
That's beautiful.
Love it so much.
No paralysis, no heart attacks, no ripped rotator cuffs.
No dogs eating their owner.
No dogs eating their owners. That's how you do. Great news.
All right. A couple years ago, I posted on my Instagram a picture that just, even to this day, it just gets me. It's a woman that is on a gurney, and it looks like she's looking out over the ocean, and then what looks to be like a guy in an ambulance company next to her. And it turns out it's from Australia, and it's Hervey Bay Ambulance Company. They had a palliative care patient who mentioned she just wanted to see the ocean again before she was going to die.
Oh,
so
wow.
They brought her out to look at the ocean, and someone snapped this picture, and it's just, it's beautiful and it's wonderful. And then I heard about this, that there is a group called the Ambulance Wish Foundation, and they're out of the Netherlands. They use their medical transportation to help immobile seniors or hospice patients to check off one final item on their bucket list. So some people choose to visit loved ones. Some want to go to a casino, which I loved. an aquarium, a zoo, a beach. Some renew their vows at a church. It's essentially their last thing that they want to do before they're going to pass. And this ambulance company makes it possible. They've got a team of 270 medically trained volunteers, and they facilitate 5 or 6 trips for dying seniors every single day.
Wow.
You guys, this is insane. So it's been going on since 2007, and they have fulfilled over 7,000 hospital patient wishes, which is just...
That's amazing.
How phenomenal is that? And it's based out of the Netherlands, but the idea has been so amazing that is now spread to other countries, including Germany, Israel, Brazil, England, Japan, and Ecuador.
So it's kind of make-a-wish for old people.
Exactly what it is. Yeah, you hear about little kids that get their make-a-wish, and it's amazing, and it's some of the most beautiful, heartwarming stuff you'll ever see, but so many people don't think about our dying seniors, and this is their one last item to check off of their bucket list. So thank you to this company, the Ambulance Wish Foundation, the Dutch charity, which is just wonderful. And that's my...
Let's try to forget just who you really are.
Just released, that is Simple Creatures, and the name of that song is Strange Love. I love that.
It's great.
I do too. That's a hit, you guys.
Yeah.
Telling you. We mentioned that was Mark Hoppus and Alex Gaskarth from All Time Low, their new band Simple Creatures. And Mark put something up on social media the other day. Let's bring him into the conversation here because I know we got him on the phone. Hey, Mark. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you today?
Great song.
Thank you very much. Yeah,
seriously.
I like that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, really. you give it thumbs up, huh?
I like that one. Yeah, I'll let it go. It's cool.
you tweeted something the other day that we thought was hilarious, and we thought we might expand into a phone topic to our listeners at 1-800-520-1067. Out of the blue, all these years later, you put up a tweet about what's my age again. How come? What was going on?
I saw something on Twitter where somebody referenced what's my age again, and they said that the lyric was, I walk alone to get the feeling right. And I felt like it's come up a few times since I've written the song and people have sung it incorrectly. And so I put it out there that it's actually, I wore cologne to get the feeling right. And I got such a response on that, that apparently like Apple Music had the lyrics wrong and it was wrong on some lyric pages.
Does that happen a lot?
It happens from time to time. It hasn't happened a whole lot, but that specific lyric seems to cause people the most trouble. And then it was like a total Mandela effect. So many people were like, no, it's always Walk Alone. And then I started thinking, wait, have I been singing Walk Alone even though I recorded?
Am I wrong?
Even though I recorded War Cologne? But no, it's War Cologne.
So War Cologne is what you're saying, not Work Alone.
War Cologne to not get the walk feeling
alone.
Right.
Not
yeah.
Walk yeah, walk alone.
Right. No, but I'm saying, I just want to make sure we understand, it's Walk Alone is the correct one or the wrong one?
No, that's the wrong one.
See? Okay.
That's the
wrong
but one. No, but I'm saying there's also a difference between Work Alone and War Cologne. I just want to make sure between those three we know which one is the right one.
I'm confused now completely.
War Cologne. Just War Cologne. War Cologne is the correct. A lot of people thought it was I Walk Alone.
Okay, but when you're saying it, I can't tell whether you're saying Work Alone or War Cologne.
I'm not saying work at all. No one said walk.
Walk.
It's War Cologne.
All right, here's the clip.
It was a Friday night. I walk alone to get the feeling right.
I mean, you can sort of see.
It's 50-50.
I thought he was a little British-y there. He's like, I walk alone.
See why people may have thought that was I Walk Alone.
Do you think it's possible it has anything to do with... Is it possible that Billy Joe's I Walk Alone in Boulevard of Broken Dreams may be confusing people because they kind of know that's what he says in that song, so they think that's what you say in your song?
It could be, but I want people more to sing his lyrics incorrectly and sing I Walk Alone, I Walk Alone.
Whoa, whoa. would be awesome. Mark, you're a singer, songwriter, and a lifelong music fan. Has it ever happened to you where you've not known the lyrics to a song and found out after the fact you've been singing it wrong?
Yes. I mean, aside from Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza.
Sure.
There was Jimmy Eat World lyrics that I heard incorrectly and turned into Blink lyrics because I thought that they sounded cool. I think a lot of joy of listening to music is trying to understand what people are saying, and then when you think it's wrong, but when you sing it wrong, but it means something more to you, I think that's pretty cool, actually.
I'll tell you this. I have sang the wrong lyrics to a song for decades, and I'm not changing because it's just
okay. You're just
now,
sticking with it.
It just brings me joy, and it's AC/DC, Dirty Deeds, and it's Dirty Deeds, and what? Done Dirt Cheap.
Yeah.
Nope. It's Thunder Chief. Dirty Deeds and the
good.
Thunder Chief. As a little kid, that's what I sang.
That is actually
and
better.
I still do it. Right?
Uh-huh.
Thunder Chief.
In the Jay-Z Kanye song "Edwards in Paris," Prince Williams ain't doing it right if you ask me, because if I was him, I would have married Kate and Ashley,
mm-hmm.
which is referencing, obviously, the Olsen twins.
Right.
But for about 2 weeks, I would rap, because if I was him, I would have married Casey Anthony.
Oh. That's very
different. Much darker.
A completely different definition.
Yeah. Much
but
darker.
When I first heard it, I went, why would he say that? That seems crazy rude. Like, you know what I mean? But then I thought it and was like, oh, Kate and Ashley, got it.
We had Gerard Way in for My Chemical Romance, mm-hmm. and I brought one up to him in studio. I was like, mm-hmm. I don't understand. In your song, mm-hmm. Sing, listen to this. I thought he said sing it to your nuts.
Makes sense.
And I was like, why are you singing it to your nuts? And he said, that's cute. That's not what I said. I was like, okay, good.
So what's the real lyric then?
Sing it till you're nuts.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah, two is a very different thing.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's terrible. The real lyric is awful.
So I should keep singing it my way?
Yes.
Sing it till you're nuts. That's just a bad line.
So sing it to your nuts.
Sing it to your nuts is better, because at least that says something.
Yeah, that's way more Blink anyway. All right. Yeah. What 1-800-520-1067. We all have them. What songs have you thought you knew the words to and found out later you had been mishearing them? Mark, thank you for setting us straight on this. And as always, we appreciate you coming on the Kevin and Meet Show. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too, guys.
Thank you, man. All right, just had a Blink 182. Let's take one phone call. We're talking about misheard lyrics. We've got Dan from Pico Rivera. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, everyone.
So this topic speaks to you. It's happened to you as well.
It has, and I feel like an idiot because I misheard the title of the song.
All right.
It's Imagine Dragons, Radioactive.
Right.
And instead of hearing Radioactive, for the longest time, I just kept hearing Ready to Rock You.
Ready to rock you.
Ready to rock you. Ready to rock you.
I mean, it fits, but it doesn't rhyme. When it doesn't rhyme, don't you think, hey, that's weird that doesn't rhyme with what I'm singing?
That's why I feel like an idiot, but it does, but it is.
Okay.
All right. Good one, Dan. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear your misheard lyrics. By the way, from the 323, Josh says, I always thought this song was Where's My Asian Friend, not What's My Age Again. Let's play it for you.
Talking about misheard lyrics, which a lot of people seem to have.
Yeah. Well, how can you not? I mean, so many songs, it's tough to decipher the lyrics, and you just have to guess. You just have to wing it.
And part of my problem is I just sing whatever I heard, and then that's stuck in my mind, and I don't ever go check.
Oh, also, right. If you do it wrong in front of me, I'm not correcting you.
Yeah. Probably the most misheard lyric of last year, it was a big thing, was Blank Space by Taylor Swift. You know this one? She says the real lyric is, got a long list of ex-lovers, they'll tell you I'm insane. But what everybody thought it was, including Taylor's mom, was, got a lot of Starbucks lovers, they'll tell you I'm insane. And people were like, why is Taylor singing about Starbucks?
Her mom thought that?
Even her mom thought that, but millions of fans did too. So she actually had to come out and say, guys, no, it's not a Starbucks thing. This is what the real lyrics are.
Missed opportunity for money.
Right? So, she could have sold that, yep. Right? So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What's the song you didn't know the lyrics to and then you found out later? Where do you want to go first?
Elizabeth in Monrovia. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, party people.
Hello. Misheard lyrics. What do you got?
Okay. So when I was growing up as a kid, there's a song. It's called Manic Monday. The lyric goes, it's just another Manic Monday. But I grew up thinking, it's just another man, it's Monday. And I always thought, wow, what a hoback. And then I just found out recently that that wasn't the lyrics. And I was like, oh. It's just another
manic Monday. That's a weird thing that you thought.
I mean, she was just getting real lucky every Monday.
It's just another man. It's Monday.
That's what I thought. I was like, whoa, what a whole bag.
Considering how bad Mondays are.
I know. Kind of uplifting.
Well,
thank
done,
you for the call. We appreciate that.
All right. Yeah. Let's go to Chris, who is calling us from Lake Forest. Good morning.
Morning, party people. Yeah, so I always heard the CCR song as a kid, Bad Mood Rising, as there's a bathroom on the right. I just thought that they were giving friendly directions. I don't know.
Here's the clip. You thought that was bathroom on the right.
I mean, it's very handy.
It was bathroom on the right.
Yeah. I hear it.
I do, too.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm going to say John Fogerty is wrong and Chris is right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris, for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Ryan, who is calling us from Columbia, Tennessee. Hey, Ryan.
Oh. Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Thank you for streaming. We appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
All right, which one?
Regulate by Nate Dogg of Warren G. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, they always say, regulators, mount up.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought it was regulators, Mondo.
Mondo?
I don't know who Mondo is or why they'd be talking to him, but it was like a decade went by, and then one day my buddy's like, what are you saying?
Mount up.
It was a... Mount up.
It sounds like mount up, but if you heard Mondo, I guess that's what you heard, right?
Right?
Evidently.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. From the 626, the lyric for Metallica, Enter Sandman, exit light, enter night. My wife insisted it was exit light, end your life.
Wow.
That's very different.
By the way, not a bad lyric.
Not a bad lyric at all, but I think you ought to explore more what your wife is thinking.
Yeah, her wife should be in, like, Insane Clown Posse or something.
Let's go to Andrew in San Fernando. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
I feel like it might be worse if it's an older song and a classic.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make it worse?
Maybe.
Yeah, sorry to say, growing up, always heard the song Beat It from Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Chorus line, when it says... you know, showing how funky and strong your fight. I always thought he said shower hot monkey.
I mean, in your defense, it's difficult for Michael Jackson.
Also, in your defense, it works with bubbles.
Yeah,
he clearly did shower a hot monkey. Yeah.
If you don't know the lyrics and hear that one part of the song, it does actually kind of sound like it.
All right, we're with you on that one.
Shower hot monkey.
I like it.
Kind of good.
Yeah.
Gina writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, until I was about 20, I thought Our House by Madness went Our House in the Middle of Austria, not Our House in the Middle of Our Street. Okay.
Wow. All right.
I guess I can see that. Sure.
Let's go to Sonia in Azusa. Hi.
Hi.
Talking about misheard lyrics. What do you got?
For about 13 years, I thought, Someday, bloody Sunday with someday, buddy, someday.
Someday, buddy, someday.
Like encouragement.
Yeah.
Or threatening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that too, buddy,
a
someday.
More of a threat.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy.
Definitely.
Okay. That must have been so weird for you when you found out what it was really about, an actual historical event.
It was in high school. We studied the battle of Bloody Sunday, and I put two and two together.
Okay. And then you're like, oh, I'm going to keep that to myself. Here's the song. Someday, buddy, someday. That makes sense.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate the call. Thank you, Sonia.
All right, let's go to line five. Let's go to Donna.
Allie's favorite call of the year already.
Hi, Donna.
Hi, party people.
Good morning.
Back in my hot dog on a stick days, we would all be sitting there listening to the radio in the back, cleaning up, and My Angel is the Centerfold came on, and one of the girls sang it as, My Anus is the Center Hole.
I like that better.
My anus is the center hole. My blood runs cold. Yeah, I like
wow.
it. I like it a lot.
Angel is the center hole.
Wow, that's different, but look, I think yours is better.
I mean, the fact that the song was called Centerfold should have been.
Listen, sometimes you hear what you want to hear.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51. Can I announce the grand prize winner? We have time for that?
I wish you would. Where's this lucky listener going?
Toronto.
To see.
Beck in Cage the Elephant.
Nice.
This is John Adelia. John Adelia from Santa Clarita.
He's Battle Angel, right?
I don't think that's exactly the same thing.
We're sending Battle Angel? We're not.
No, no. This is a different guy.
That's Alita Girl Power Alley. Completely different.
My bad.
This is what we do every week here on K-Rock is we send you to a fantastic place to see a fantastic show. This week, it's K-Rock Wheels Up 2019 Destination Number 7, which is the Bottle Rock Festival in Napa Valley. That's going to be every afternoon at 5 p.m. Your chance to win. Four-night hotel stay, round-trip airfare. Who's on that bill? I know Mumford & Sons, Neil Young,
every
Pharrell
band that
Williams,
you've ever heard of.
Cypress Hill, Imagine Dragons. It's a great deal. 5 o'clock this afternoon with our friend Stryker. Hey, we'll get back to talking Academy Awards with our friend Matt Bellany from the Hollywood Reporter coming up next. First, Allie, what's happening?
Yeah, we're going to talk about, you know, who won, who didn't, what was a surprise, all that stuff. But I'm not sure if you saw this. It was the Vanity Fair Oscar party Sunday night, last night. And Selma Blair attended. It was her first time out that people have seen her after she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in October. So her first public appearance. And she was on the red carpet. She had a cane. She was obviously walking a little bit differently. And she was taking the time to, she had this gorgeous gown on and then would just swing part of the gown. So the whole people, all the people that were taking the pictures were like, do it again, do it again. she was just taking in the moment. And it was just, it's really beautiful and it's really inspiring to see her out there and just living her life and giving so many people that are fighting with MS every single day something to go, you know what? Look, she's out there. We can all do this. So she looked amazing. So
I don't watch the red carpet because the show is enough of an investment without having to tack another hour on it. But was there anything interesting? Did Seacrest embarrass himself or anything?
There was one interesting moment that I saw. It was the pre-show on whatever channel it was on.
ABC.
It was on ABC, yeah, where Ashley Greene was interviewing. She's the model. Mm-hmm. And she was interviewing Jason Momoa, and he was with his wife, Lisa Bonet. And if anyone else saw this, please let me know, because it was so awkward.
Oh, no.
She's like, I'm not going to let you leave here without doing one of the haka moves. And she wanted to see him, like, do one of those moves. And Lisa Bonet literally put her hand, and she goes, no. Like, honey, my husband is not going to jump around and do those moves for you right here on this red carpet. Like, it was, she pretty much was like, let me just squash any thoughts that you're going to have my husband jump around in his gorgeous pink crushed velvet suit, which, by the way, had a matching scrungie. Don't think I didn't notice that. It was amazing.
It was a very big topic
last
night.
But I also loved how many people were like, wait, Lisa Bonet and Jason Momoa? Yeah, they've been married for a couple years, let alone been together forever.
They live on like a farm together or something.
They're just magic together. But I had to just hand it to Lisa Bonet that was just like, we are not doing that. It was pretty amazing. So that I enjoyed. Everything else, whatever.
I'm with Bean. I can't watch another second other than the show.
Yeah.
Even the show's painful.
Yeah. No.
And I don't care what people are wearing. And there's never a good interview on the red carpet, ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all filler.
I hear ya.
Because you have to spend 20 seconds with that person and then move on to the next person.
Is there a worse question in the universe than who are you wearing?
No.
Mm-mm. I mean, there's nothing worse.
And there was a campaign, wasn't there, from a lot of women a few years ago to say, hey, why don't you start asking other questions than that? Because that's not the important thing.
Yeah, I think they have started to adjust. But they still, did they still have the petty cam and the manny cam?
That was the E thing they used to do.
Yeah. Because that seems like that should be canceled.
That sounds like the worst idea ever.
Dumb. Also, like, I don't know. You shouldn't be zooming in on people's feet, you weirdo.
I will say that I was, while we're talking fashion, I think almost everybody looked great on stage last night of the people who came up. But Lady Gaga's 125-carat yellow diamond.
Oh, I thought you were saying her yellow skin.
No, her orange skin. Orange. Yeah.
That was a
weird
look. But
that yellow diamond was insane.
That necklace was unbelievable.
It looked too heavy to wear.
Sure did.
I will say this, because I didn't notice the back of her dress until she was sitting at the piano. It brought me back to my swim team days, because it was the total back of a Speedo bathing suit that you would wear in swim team.
That was the back of her dress?
And I thought, wow, that's probably so comfy. That was my thought. Like, she's probably one of the only comfortable people there.
Oh, my thought was, how is she so orange?
Yeah, I kept thinking, is she Ernie from Bert and Ernie?
a lot of spray tans went a little too sprayish.
Mm-hmm. I thought maybe they had, for the performance that Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper had, which, by the way, was magnificent, I thought.
Yeah.
Terrific. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe they had put an orange light on
the screen. So
did
I.
But then when they got up and walked away, I went, oh, they're still orange.
They sure are orange.
It looked like when you're at like a buffet and the chicken's under a light. You know what I mean? Like that orange look. And you're right that I thought, oh, it's the light of the thing. But then when she turned her body, I noticed it's also like on her shoulders.
Yeah, she's all orange.
Yeah.
They came very close to making out on
I'm
that
telling
stage,
you,
though.
Man. They're not helping those rumors.
Here's my question, you guys. How many wives turned to their husband during that ceremony and was like, if your coworker looks at you like that, we're going to have some problems.
It was not cool.
It was a lot. And to think his, you know, baby mama right there in the front row, his mother in the front row. And I know you have to suspend your belief for a bit because they're filters.
I know what you're saying because it looked real. I felt like it was part of the performance.
I think on her end, it's very real.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know. To me, it just looked like. Okay.
I mean, she did just break up with her fiance within the last 3 months, right?
Yeah,
within the last.
But I'm not
weeks,
sure on stage at the Oscars is where you make your move.
No.
I'm not positive that's what you want to do.
Yeah, but it's like it felt like Hollywood folklore. Like it felt like in 2 years when they get married, you'll all be like, oh, did you see them when they performed that song? You saw it coming. You know
you
what I mean?
You can't deny that chemistry.
Yeah. I did like there was a press release from that went to the AP. It like came up on my phone and it was a headline and it just said Bradley Cooper looks in love with his girlfriend on the red carpet. And I was like, what publicist is pushing this story out?
Good Lord.
Yeah.
It was a lot. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm holding on a little tighter to Bradley at the after parties.
Uh-huh.
That's all I'm saying.
Where you going, Brad? Brad, where you going? Just
going to the bathroom.
Where's the bathroom? you just had a corn dog. Are you going back?
That's a lot.
I'll go with you to get a drink.
Well, there were also some awards handed out, you guys.
Oh,
The Razzies.
No.
We're talking about the 39th annual Razzie Awards.
I feel like these are my movies.
Mm-hmm. Holmes and Watson won Worst Picture, and the film also picked up the Golden Raspberry in three other categories, including John C. Reilly for Worst Supporting Actor.
That should never be.
Ridiculous.
It never be.
Do you agree, Kevin? You did not like that movie either.
I mean, it wasn't great, but I love Will Ferrell and I love John C. Reilly, and just even watching them in a bad movie is sort of fun because I like them.
Absolutely.
But it was not a great movie, no.
Melissa McCarthy, who it's very funny because she's nominated for an Oscar on the same night they're giving away the Razzies. She won Worst Actress for appearing in both Life of the Party and The Happy Time Murders.
Okay.
Do you guys remember how excited I was for The Happy Time Murders?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't understand your excitement there, but okay.
Oh, just puppets in general. Yeah. Just delight me to no end.
It could have been great, Jensen.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. And Life of the Party could have been great. I mean, it just doesn't come together. I mean, Holmes and Watson, how's that bad?
Right. Yeah.
You saw that coming, you're like, this is going to be great.
I will tell you this about Happy Time Murders. If you've ever seen when they do Puppet Up, the Henson group, and
yes, that's Brian's
or whatever.
One
of the greatest live shows you will ever
see. And that was what they were trying to capture.
And that's what they were trying to capture. So I was all in, couldn't wait, went to a screening. And as we left the screening, my friend looked at me with the most earnest look on his face and said, I'm really sorry, Abby.
Yeah.
Like, somehow he had something to do with the movie.
It, no good.
Oh, no I'm good. Just saying.
The trailer was great.
Amazing.
That's one of those where it's like, okay, if it's this good, it's going to... It wasn't that
I'm just saying, could have been a little better. You guys could have been a little better. As for movies, they still happen this weekend.
What?
How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World took the top spot at the box office, bringing in $55.5 million, followed by Alita, Battle Angel. Lego Movie 2, the second part, came in third. Fighting with My Family came in fourth. And at fifth, Isn't It Romantic? Some birthdays for you. We've got Sean Astin. We've got Rashida Jones, Chelsea Handler, Jamila Jamil, and Ric Flair.
Woo! 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 Woo!
Right?
That was a weird speech at the Oscars last night.
Making up for not having woos the last 3 hours.
Our next guest is better on 1 hour sleep than I am on 10. He is Matt Bellany, the executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter, and we always love seeing Matt the day after big award shows like last night's Academy Awards. He was there. He was at the parties. Let's welcome him back to the show.
Shall we?
Hey guys. Matt,
good morning. How are you feeling?
I'm actually doing pretty well. It was a long day, a long night, but yeah. I'm still going. Thank God for
it'll,
coffee.
It'll hit you like noon.
Sure.
1 p.m. You'll fall asleep.
Although I'm sure you have a very busy day in the office today just cleaning it up, right?
Totally, yeah. The Oscars are not over. They they last for the most of this week, too.
We have so many questions, some topics that we spoke about amongst ourselves earlier. Obviously, the Green Book win, you know, the no host. We want to get into all that. But I think the first question on everybody's mind is, how close did you get to Taylor Swift last night?
That's, right. Can I just interrupt and say that's not the first question
that's
on everybody's mind?
That's the only thing that matters,
it
Kevin.
It just isn't.
Let's just get it out of the way at the beginning.
Please.
I was not that close to Taylor Swift last night. The night before the Oscars, there is an industry Hollywood party, and I did stand next to her at the bar. She looked lovely. She
was, although, get real.
Unfortunately, Bean, she was standing with her boyfriend the entire night, fortunately for you. But he seemed like a very nice guy. I actually sat behind him, this guy, Joe, what's his name? Joe Alwyn. Mm-hmm. He was in The Favorite. So
Bean answers like he's also touching his voodoo doll at the same time.
He was in The Favorite and Mary Queen of Scots. He was in both of them.
Okay, I was not aware of that latter one. But yeah. You know, it's interesting. He did not get the proper seat respect that you would think Taylor Swift's boyfriend would get at the Oscars. He was sitting right by me, and my seat was not that great.
Hmm. So but he wasn't with Taylor at the awards.
He was not with Taylor.
Now that's the difference.
Right, he was solo.
You move up.
Later at the party, she showed up.
Oh, yeah, then you get in. Then he's at every party. He gets a VIP table.
Totally.
But you got to bring her along.
Yeah, he was sitting with a co-star.
Did you talk to Taylor when you were at the bar with her?
Oh, for the love of
God's sake! Only in the like shortest pleasantries. I was not, you know, I was not interrogating her. Okay. This was not an interview setting. I was giving her
some
freedom.
All right, let's talk Oscars. No, hold on. One more question. How does she smell?
Well, according to my interpretation, she smelled like the old fashioned that I was drinking because I did not actually sniff her. I'm sorry. Next time, maybe you can get a better correspondent to come in here about her smell.
Matt, let's talk about what will this Oscars, the two things this Oscars will be remembered for, and I telegraphed them both when you sat down. One, how effective do you think the no-host Oscars was? I'm seeing generally positive reviews on that.
Yeah, I think the Tina Fey crew that came out,
they
made people a lot calmer about that because they were funny. And they
that just made me want them to stick around.
You know what, though? Less is more. I think they understood less is more.
And then you don't have the pressure to do it all night long. Yeah. You just get to get that monologue. And it was a real quick run. Mm-hmm. But, like, that was great.
Yeah.
And then get them out of there.
That's all that people want. They just want to laugh, and they just want to watch their award show and their celebrities getting trophies. So,
and the show is so long that you kind of start to resent the host for every comedy bit that he or she does in the second or third hour because you're like, just get this over.
But I would say not good ones. I would say bad hosts. No host is better than bad hosts, but good hosts are better than
hosts. Good hosts are still great, but they got rid of a lot of the stunts. There were no helicopters bringing in sandwiches. There were no real people, you know, brought out from the street. None of that stuff.
And no comedy taped bits, which usually are pretty good.
Yeah, sometimes they're good. Yeah.
They cost a lot, though.
They do cost a lot. Yeah, and, you know, and the big goal for the show was to get it in under 3 hours. They didn't quite make it. It was a little bit over, but about a half hour shorter than last year, which is great.
And compared to the Grammys, who went like 40 over.
Exactly.
This was a dream,
is there any possible way to cut down on the thanking names?
No. Because they try. They've tried every possible way. They specifically tell them at the luncheon for all the nominees, they say, do not read a list. Do not whip it out. We are not going to.
Those are two different things completely.
To be honest, it is something that needs to be said in Hollywood.
That is true. But they say, if you start reading names, we will give you the wrap it up line. And some people listen and others just don't.
But like that historic moment when, I'm sorry, I don't remember her name, but she won makeup or visual effects or something for Black Panther. She was the first African-American woman
Ruth
ever.
Carter. Ruth Carter was the
was one of
designer.
The worst speeches of the night. I mean, she it felt like she was up there for 4 minutes reading the phone book.
Right.
It couldn't have been more boring.
And then at the end of the night, when they're trying to wrap it up, they cut off Best Picture and cut off the people you actually do care about.
Right. So they just people. I guess people just feel like this. I didn't get here alone. I owe it to these people to thank them publicly.
But
right?
Don't we all
know that?
Yeah.
I mean, don't we all know that every single person up there has a huge supporting cast and a team of people?
Yeah.
And
your agent, your publicist, right. all that stuff. One year they even tried to do a scroll, if you remember that, at the bottom.
Oh,
where they
that's
scrolled
right.
the
right,
names
right, right.
to try to get people to not say them, and that didn't work either.
They just read the names anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Then it was doubly annoying.
And I get that people have people that they want to thank, that type of thing, but the ones that stick with you are the Regina Kings that tells a story that's inspiring.
Absolutely, yeah. Gaga.
That makes you just, you remember those.
That's
and
right.
I feel like everybody knows that,
Allie,
but they forget once
Allie,
they get up
you're
there.
Missing, you're missing. I write down all their children's names. So at the end of the year, I send them a Christmas card.
Okay.
So it's important that
My
they
bad.
Say it.
I would like to say this, though. Giving an acceptance speech in front of a crowd like that is a completely different skill than most of these actors.
Yes.
Absolutely.
A
some
lot
people
of them
are good at it.
Yes, yes.
Others are just not good at it. I mean,
yeah.
And some are sort of lovably good, not good at it. The woman from The Favorite, when she
She's won. The best. That was my favorite.
That was hilarious. And it was because she was so flustered. She did not expect to win.
Yeah.
And it was a real moment of emotion. And that's what people watch these shows for.
All right, we have a lot of ground to cover. Matt Bellany is our guest, the executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter. We have time. We have 90 seconds. We can cover this. A lot of disappointment over, as is so often the case, over the Best Picture. We talked about it earlier today, Matt. What are your thoughts? Green Book is not going to be a film we feel that 5 years from now people are going to look back and be delighted that it won the Best Oscar.
No, but you know what? Like, the history of the Oscars is that. If you look back at some of these movies that win, like The Artist or Birdman or some of these, you know, more art film movies, they just are not the best representation of what Hollywood can do, in my opinion. But is it a bad movie? No.
No.
Is it racist? No. Is it, you know, some of the things that have been lobbed at it? It's fine. It's totally fine.
Well,
That's what you want in a movie.
I want that movie's publicist.
Yeah.
because to have four outstanding controversies you're nominated and still win it and not be a great movie is incredible.
It just was one of those movies that it hits the Academy right where they live. They are mostly older, liberal, white people
right.
who want to feel good about their Oscar vote, and they felt good about that, despite the fact that the writer was tweeting anti-Muslim things and they
with
had,
a Muslim star as the film.
And Viggo Mortensen said the N-word during the campaign.
I saw one tweet that said, "I know why it won, because the old white voters watched the movie for 5 minutes and went, I had a Cadillac like that. I laughed so hard.
Man, I wish that wasn't true.
I love the behind-the-scenes stuff that you give in The Hollywood Reporter. How much did Netflix spend on their campaign for Roma?
The official number is 25, but I've heard...
Million.
25 million.
Oh, wow.
I've heard 40 from credible sources.
Wow.
Because it is their shot. I mean, now, they'll have another one, obviously, but this was a big shot for them.
Absolutely, and it's all positive for them. It's just marketing their service. This is where you can watch an Oscar contending film right now.
Yeah.
Now,
so had they even not won, it didn't matter because Netflix is
the
beneficiary.
Netflix is playing with funny money anyways.
Yeah.
It's all they're spending billions of dollars on content even though they don't make a profit because it's all about their subscriber numbers and their stock price. But this was their big moment. They knew they had the goods here. This is a really well-liked film, even though a lot of people who watched it on the service fell asleep after the first 20 minutes. But they knew that they could get that Oscar or at least get in contention if they spent the money. And they spent it pretty smartly.
Quick question with a quick answer. Does it ever become the Popular Movie Awards?
No.
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 It can't ever.
No. Because
even when they tried the Popular Movie Award.
They tried the Popular Oscar and it got rejected in 20 seconds
because
the people that are in the Academy don't want that.
Right.
And then they lucked out. I mean, the early numbers on the ratings are that they're actually up a little.
I think they're going to be up because of Bohemian Rhapsody and because of Black Panther.
Black Panther and Star is Born. They nominated and they ended up
Money
nominating
makers.
Popular movies because that's just the year that it was.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, please stand by. Hollywood Reporter, by the way, THR.com for all the coverage of the 91st Academy Awards. More other guests right after this on K-Rock. I know sometimes, Matt, that the Academy rewards past mistakes. They kind of consider the award, and they shouldn't, but rather than for an individual performance, they go, well, this is for a body of work because you've been shafted in the past. I don't think that's what happened with Spike Lee. I think Spike Lee deserved his Oscar last night. But I asked that question to ask this one. Why can't Glenn Close win an Oscar? And wouldn't last night have been the night to say, my God, what a career this woman has had?
That was the biggest shocker of the night by far. There was a gasp in the room when she didn't win because everybody thought that the seventh time would be the charm for her. And I think ultimately just not enough people saw that movie. The Wife was a really small movie. More people saw The Favorite, Olivia Colman, who's the star of The Favorite.
She's very popular.
You know, but she's not a name. I mean, you would think this would be the career anointment for Glenn Close, and it just wasn't to be.
Do people not like her for some reason?
I don't.
Great actress.
I know. If there is some mafia in Hollywood that is like trying to deny Glenn Close her Oscar, I am unaware of it. But it is working.
It's odd.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that, you know, she was out there on the circuit. She was at all the parties. She was shaking hands, doing all
the
things that you're supposed to do.
And she was winning a lot of the awards leading up to the Oscars.
Absolutely. All the indicators suggested she would win.
Okay.
But one thing to note is that the Academy has let in a lot of new voters over the past few years in an attempt to diversify.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those new voters are in England and Europe.
Ah,
so the theory is that because Olivia Colman is so well known in British movies, that's what tipped the scale. I'm not sure about that, but it could be true.
She's also
so good. She was wonderful.
Yeah, she was fantastic. Wonderful. And that movie The Favorite didn't win anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this was where people put all their eggs.
Okay, I mentioned Spike Lee. Let's talk about that. He, first of all, is dressing like Prince, and not just the purple suit, but he literally had the Prince symbol. On a chain around his neck. What's that about? Do you know?
Well, he did not consult me this time. Usually he calls
me
and asks.
You're an insider, Matt. I need to know.
But he did not consult me this time. I think Spike is Spike. I mean, he was showing up in sneakers to most of the other shows, and he does what he wants to do. And I think people knew that he had two big chances to win. He had director, which was a long shot, and then he had the screenplay award, which people thought that he would potentially win. So that was the big anticipation moment during the show, is what will Spike say? And I think he delivered.
I mean, yes, but not in a great way. It sounded like he wasn't reading very well. Here's a little bit of it.
The word today is irony. The date, the 24th, the month, February, which also happens to be the shortest month of the year, which also happens to be Black History Month, the year 2019, the year 1619, 400 years. 400 years, our ancestors were stolen from Mother Africa and brought to Jamestown, Virginia, enslaved. Our ancestors worked the land from Kansas in the morning to Kansas at night.
Keep going, stop.
I've been there before. What he did is he wrote down some bullet points, and then he got up there and got so nervous, he just read the bullet points.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Totally true. There's pictures of him writing his little speech beforehand.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
I did like his love and hate.
That was cool,
From Do the Right Thing. Radio
I did
Raheem,
like that he jumped on top of Samuel Jackson, too. That was awesome.
Yes.
Oh, that continued during the commercial, by
did
the
it?
Way.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
They cut to commercial, but then there was a love fest. It's a good thing they weren't on the air. They might have had to censor that.
Yeah.
I only caught two political moments last night, and that surprised me because I feel like we're even more divisive and there's even more controversy about what's going on in this country than ever before. But Spike talked about the 2020 election, and Maya Rudolph near the beginning talked about Mexico not paying for the wall. Were you surprised that there wasn't more of that?
There were a couple more. Javier Bardem made a reference to walls not being able to take talent out of America. He talked in Spanish.
That was beautiful. Doesn't count.
I thought that was beautiful.
And Alfonso Cuarón said something similar, but there wasn't, you know, Trump's name was never mentioned, but I think that the sentiment was there. The Academy hates politics. If it was up to them, there would be no political moments on the show because they know that half the country is going to tune out or be upset. And lo and behold, this morning, Trump tweets an anti-Spike Lee thing. So, you know, they don't like it, but these are artists. They're going to say what they're going to say. And I think these moments are some of the highlights of the show. Whether you agree or disagree, it's people speaking their mind and using the platform.
Can I just say that Spike Lee in the press room saying that every time somebody's driving somebody, I lose.
Right.
Is the funniest ever because he lost to Driving Miss Daisy and last night he lost to Green Book.
He wasn't even nominated for Driving Miss Daisy. That's the biggest snub in Academy history is that Do the Right Thing was not
unbelievable.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, do you want to talk about Spike versus Green Book?
Sure.
Yes.
Because there was a whole controversy after the show because Spike Lee has made no effort to hide the fact that he does not like Green Book. He thinks the racial politics of the movie are not good. It's told from the white perspective, not the black perspective.
He met the filmmakers, wasn't thrilled about them either.
Exactly. Yeah. So when Green Book won, the look on Spike's face was basically like he smelled something like a dirty diaper or something like that. And he walked out of the room. He went to the press room. They asked him what he thought about it. And he kind of minced his words. And he said the ref made a bad call in a reference to the Knicks.
We were saying earlier that Mahershala looked miserable to be there. Like not even a smile to a man who just won a second Oscar.
Yeah, he's a, you
Is he already distancing himself from this movie?
No, I don't think so. I think he's really proud of it. He's just a kind of mellow
guy.
He's
kind of a serious guy, right?
Yeah,
he just was in his true detective mode last night.
Maybe, yeah, maybe he was. It's just, you know, he's been there, done that, and it wasn't that long ago. And I don't know, he's kind of a mellow guy. I think this campaign, the Green Book campaign, probably took a few years off his life.
I assume so. When you have to call the people's family to tell them you apologize, it can't be a good feeling.
No, and when you have to defend your colleague, your co-star's N-word.
And your religion, right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what I thought was one of the greatest moments of the night, which was the Lady Gaga Bradley Cooper performance. It was brilliant staging, first of all, that they pushed the guitar out of the musicians, and then they just had them walk up from the front row with no introduction and just sit there and just do their thing. And I understand there was more than one standing ovation for that last night.
Yeah, they got a second standing ovation after they went to commercial when they were going back to their seat.
Wow.
And, you know, people loved it. I'm going to take your word because from the crowd, we couldn't really tell what the camera movements were, but I heard they did a great job focusing in on them.
It was really intimate.
Although people thought they were about to make out.
At one point.
And they looked a little orange.
Very.
A lot
very
of orange.
Are they not orange in person?
I mean, it's hard to tell from... For when you're watching from the crowd. I mean, they look normal. They look maybe bronzered a little bit.
Yeah,
like she looked like Janice from The Muppets. Like she was fully orange. Like, it was very creepy.
Did she get pregnant during that
I mean, are they? I don't know. Bean, you probably know better than I do. Are they, like, dating now? Are they secretly together?
That's an Allie question. What do you think, Allie? You've been following this day by day.
I think she has very strong feelings for Bradley Cooper.
I think they're reciprocated as well. I would be a little worried if I was...
Do either of them have...
He's with a woman.
He's with Irina Shayk. And
she recently broke up with her guy, so...
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Lady Gaga. And then she got the tattoo that people thought was like a little shout-out to Bradley because it was the lyrics and from
Libby
and Rose.
It was posted on Valentine's Day.
On Valentine's Day. But, I mean, you're doing that song and then Bradley Cooper's baby mom on the front row next to his actual mom, too. Tone it down.
Listen, though, that was a great moment. I mean, in the room, it killed. Everyone loved it.
Oh,
everyone was silent throughout. You know, I just feel like that's what the Oscar needs. That's why people watch.
Oh, for sure.
She's performed the song a ton of times, but everyone was thinking, you know, can Bradley actually sing?
Yeah.
Because he hadn't, except for the Vegas thing, he had never really sung in public in front of a crowd like this. So, you know.
And I'll tell you this, just from watching it at home, every commercial break said, and coming up, a live performance from Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. Every commercial break, they were teasing the hell out of it.
That's what people want. And they also put it on at exactly 7 o'clock on the West Coast,
turnover,
which is 10 o'clock on the East Coast, which is statistically the time that most people
are
watching.
Dummies.
I have one last question for you, just for me. And that is, why do they put all of the good awards at the end and go for that 2-hour chunk in the middle with nothing that anyone cares about?
Yeah. Tradition and in my view,
doesn't
stupidity.
Somebody come along and go, hey, TV ratings wise, let's sprinkle it out through the show.
I know. It's insane. I don't know why they do it.
Huh.
They should put some of the sexier awards up front and, you know, really make it something that you have something interesting and exciting every half hour for people.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, last question for me. And again, go to THR.com to follow all of the 91st Academy Awards recap. And Matt at THR, Matt Bellany. Give it a letter grade, last night's Academy Awards.
I'd say B+.
Yeah, I think I agree.
It's strong.
Yeah, for all the, you know, clown car antics of the season and all the things that they announced and then rescinded and Kevin Hart was the host and then he wasn't the host, for all of that, they actually delivered a decent show that is not going to, you know, go down in infamy.
What's happening here? We had a really good Grammys and a pretty
great
good Oscars.
Grammys.
I don't even recognize this country anymore.
I know. I will say it's much more fun when they give out the wrong best picture. Like
it really is.
I'm holding out for a bad team's choice.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We're going to say goodbye to Matt and wish him a happy day at work. And we're going to turn our attention now. You're going to love this, Matt. We are about to give away tickets to an advanced screening of Marvel Studios' Captain Marvel now.
Oh, interesting. Good.
Have you been lucky enough to see it or just been reading the great reviews?
I have not, but a couple of our people have seen it and they said it's great.
Fantastic. Yeah, it looks fantastic. fantastic. 1-800-520-1067. You are going to have to play a game to win these tickets. But if you want to see Captain Marvel, speaking of the Weezer, if you missed it, they released two new songs last week. You can check out the videos at krock.com. Right now, we're going to give away some tickets of the long-anticipated Captain Marvel movie. What a cast, you guys. Oscar winner Brie Larson, Samuel L. Jackson, Ben Mendelsohn, Jaimin Hansu, Lee Pace, Jude Law, Clark Gregg, Annette Bening. It just goes on and on and on.
All right.
You're going to get a chance to see the advance screening on March the 4th. The game is called what?
Name That Captain.
Oh, can you name that captain? A captain it must be. And if you name the captain, you'll see Captain Marvel movie. Name that captain, name that captain.
Ooh, who knew we were going straight with the pirate theme?
Classic.
So, Jensen, you're hosting this one. It's the Captain Marvel movie, so the listeners are naming that captain?
Yeah, famous captains. You tell me who I'm describing.
Okay, sounds easy enough.
All right, let's start with Ray and Pico Rivera. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, Ray. Oops, his cereal released in 1963 may contain manufactured berries, but this late 18th century naval captain focuses on both his ship and a special baking process to create the taste of brown sugar and butter over rice. I name that captain.
Oh, man. Captain Nemo.
What are you doing?
No. No. I thought cereal might have been a tip-off.
Yeah, it's Captain Crunch. Captain Crunch.
Okay. Get the, name the captain and go into the drawing to win tickets for Captain Marvel. Who's up next?
Abraham in El Monte. Good morning.
Morning.
All right. Born Bob Keeshan, this captain was a legendary children's TV performer who lived in a universe with Mr. Green Jeans, the Banana Man, Mr. Moose, and a segment called Picture Pages with Bill Cosby. But let's pretend that never happened. I name that captain.
Oh, jeez. That's a Marvel question, man.
It's called Name That Captain.
What are you doing right now? You making yourself a drink? Okay. What's your answer?
My guess is going to be, I don't know, Captain Bob.
Nope.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's Captain Kangaroo.
What are you doing? Captain Kangaroo is what they're trying to say.
Yeah.
Name that captain, name that captain.
Alice in Temple City, good morning.
Good morning.
Alice, you're going to turn this around. Listen up, alcoholics. This vessel is about to take off. The captain probably shouldn't be trusted at the wheel, though, or he'll get an SUI, sailing under the influence. It's all about spiced rum and standing with one knee up for this guy. I name that captain.
Captain Morgan.
There you go.
Captain, my captain.
Nicely done. Now we're talking. All right, you are in the drawing. Hang on to win your Captain Marvel tickets. Who's next?
Stephanie in Simi Valley. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, Stephanie. Some may know him for his Christmas albums, but we know him for running the Starfleet like a champ. Actually, let's take a listen to this legendary intergalactic captain.
Do you wish that the first Apollo mission hadn't reached the moon, or that we hadn't gone on to Mars and then to the nearest star? That's like saying you wish that you still operated with scalpels and sewed your patients up with catgut, like your great-great-great-great-grandfather used to.
Who is that?
Captain Kirk?
Hey!
Captain, my captain.
She had the confidence.
It was in a question form, but all right. Yeah,
she was
you
ready.
Got me very, very nervous.
That's
there.
Fine.
I don't mind telling you.
Let's go to Jack in Burbank. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
Once played by Dustin Hoffman in a Steven Spielberg movie, this pirate sure hates grown men in green tights trying to be a child forever. He might be Peter Pan's enemy, but the real thing he should be using his ship's telescope for is to avoid crocodiles. I name that captain.
That would be Captain Hook.
Captain, nice. My captain.
Very good.
Isn't it weird? Because Captain Jack will get you high tonight. His name's Jack.
Oh, boy.
Okay. What are you doing?
Hey, guys, we have no files. Yeah. Just saying, that's weird.
All right, so Alice, Stephanie, and Jack already in the drawing. Let's see if we can get a couple more in.
Mauricio in Sherman Oaks, hi.
Hey, party people.
May he rest in peace. This singer, legally named Daryl Dragon, which was a better stage name, was in the singing duo with his wife, better known for the bops Love Will Keep Us Together and Do That to Me One More Time, but also their own television variety show in 1976. Sure, they got divorced in 2014 when she surprisingly served him with divorce papers, but whatever, they made bops. I name that music group.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry.
Mm. What are you doing?
Captain Antoniel.
Yep.
Is that
Captain
Antoniel.
All right.
One more.
Let's go to Angel in Long Beach. Hi.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Hey, Angel. I'm hoping you get this one. It's one of my favorites. Kurt Russell is a stud of a human being, and he once played a captain to prove it. This Navy veteran who alleges he was the pilot of the USS Saratoga is willing to take you from St. Potato Island to Miami when you're Martin Short and inherit a yacht once owned by Clark Gable. He'll also help you avoid the bad kind of pirates in Cuba, and I won't spoil the movie, but it all works out. Aye, aye, who's this captain?
Why does everyone else get the easy one?
What are you doing?
Okay. It's Captain Ron. Captain Ron.
Captain
is
Ron. That's it. We got three winners.
All right.
Not one of the greatest Kurt Russell movies, though, right?
One of the greatest Kurt Russell movies.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
All right. I mentioned our contestants, Alice, Stephanie, and Jack, who all were able to get through and name that captain. Only one, however, will get a chance to see Captain Marvel at the AMC Burbank on March the 5th, which, by the way, I think is next Tuesday. Who's our winner, please?
To the movie, Alice.
No,
oh
boy.
No.
What are you doing?
Right.
Show her out.
What's happening? Congratulations, Alice. You get to see the movie. Allie, help yourself out.
Name that captain. Name that captain. Name that captain.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54. I have a question for Jensen and Bean.
Yes.
How does this whole T-shirt battle end?
One of us dies.
Put down?
Yeah. Yeah, one of us dies.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, based on the voting, okay. One of us gets put away forever.
Wow.
I think we started doing it because we both take pride in our T-shirt collections, and
yes.
We both dress like seven-year-olds. And yeah. Every day we wear a T-shirt to work, so we thought, wouldn't it be fun to start putting them up on all the Kevin and Bean social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and then just have people vote on which one they like.
Yeah.
What are you sporting today there, Jensen?
Today I'm wearing a T-shirt of Lydia Dietz from Beetlejuice. It's Winona Ryder's character, and she's sort of spooky and looking out of a shadow, and it's just it's kind of her big old face.
See, I went the other way because obviously it's a holiday today, so I have the Miley Cyrus T-shirt on, wearing a Christmas sweater because it's 1/6 Christmas today.
People vote against Bean, please.
It's 1/6 Christmas.
Yeah, I heard you.
Where's
I
your
heard
holiday
you.
Spirit? So Miley and I wish you the happy
holidays.
You're
cutting out. No.
Oh, you're cutting
yeah,
out.
That's and too bad.
Hey, I'm right here.
No, you were.
You can go to any of the Kevin and Bean social media at Kevin and Bean and vote for your favorite. Allie is here with what's happening for a Monday. Then we got some great news coming up for you coming up after the top of the hour.
Listen, if I was a multi-Grammy award winner, had a ton of money, I think I'd be John Mayer because he's doing some amazing stuff. This dude decided, I don't know if I really want to leave the house for the Vanity Fair magazine party. So I'm going to throw my own Vanity Fair Oscars party at my house. How would he do it, Allie? Oh, he built a replica of the magazine Step and Repeat.
By the way, an exact replica.
Exact. When you see these pictures, go to his Instagram.
That's
it
awesome.
Is phenomenal. He wound up talking about it on his Instagram live show that he does. But he has people like Diplo, Halsey, Dave Chappelle, Bob Saget, Jeff Ross. Here's the part that I love. He posts on Instagram pictures of these people. Like, the one of Dave Chappelle is him posing in front of this replica Step and Repeat.
And it's also, like, perfectly from the side. It's
yes.
not straight on, so
and,
it's even better.
I mean, the floor, everything is all done. And then you have John and his friends in the background yelling, Dave, over here, look over here, as he's posing for the picture.
There is no difference between that photo of Halsey and the one she would have taken on the Vanity Fair.
Zero.
That's funny.
They're all dressed up. They look great. Apparently, food provided by Shake Shack. He had Vanity Fair napkins as an extra touch. He did, however, say, if you work at the Vanity Fair party, please don't be mad at me, because I really will probably want to go next year.
Why would he spend all the money to do this rather than just have a casual party with friends coming over to his house?
Complex man.
It's funny.
It's amazing.
Loves the joke. Yeah, loves the joke.
Right. It's amazing. I just love it. I love, though, that Halsey wrote on Instagram, because anytime she's anywhere near John Mayer, people assume they're dating. So she said, of course, the fake Vanity Fair red carpet with my fake date, John Mayer, continuously pushing forward in the hopes that one day the internet might take a joke. It's amazing. When you see these pictures, you assume they're at the Vanity Fair party.
That's pretty strong.
Very funny.
Oh, I like that.
Man, kudos. Plus, not have to leave your house.
Right.
I mean, he's living
the dream. They still all got dressed up.
Oh, yeah.
Which was
kind of
the part I was like, oh, yeah. I would have been in my PJs.
No, but they're in tuxes. They're in dresses. They look fantastic.
Yeah, that part is nonsense.
It's just insanity, guys. You guys, John Krasinski confirmed the release date of A Quiet Place Part 2.
All right.
Now, is that a good idea, you guys?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it could be done right.
Is it called A Quieter Place?
It's not. Part 2. It's going to be out on May 15th, 2020.
I mean, it depends on where they go with it, because they did pretty much tell the story in the first
Well, that's what I'm wondering is if this could be a case where we're
go
more,
to another town.
Yeah, where more does not help, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just a sequel for sequel's sake. Yeah. The story's been told. I don't know.
I think, like all movies, if it's done by people who are good, it'll be great.
But that's
and if
what
it isn't, it won't.
That's what I thought about Weekend at Bernie's, and then Weekend at Bernie's 2 came out. So, you know what I mean? It's like, it's been proven.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Classic. The Godfather 2.
What?
Same
what
thing.
What is that? That's a movie?
That's a movie, yeah.
Godfather. All right.
Yeah, you should look at it.
I wouldn't put it in the same category as Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Right.
So he wakes up because of reggae.
Right.
Which I get.
Wait, Bernie wakes up from being dead?
From reggae music. There's a voodoo curse that's put on him.
No.
Yeah, in Jamaica. It's great. It's a great movie.
Where have you been, Allie?
Weekend at Bernie's 2, he comes back to life?
Well, he has a voodoo curse on him.
Right.
And he the way he moves. Remember how people do that dance called the Bernie? It's like kind of a thing where they move their back like this.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's based on Weekend at Bernie's 2, because every time they play reggae music, he starts dancing and moving around.
Okay, so it's just a curse that makes him move when he hears reggae. He's not brought back to life.
Well, he's animated. But yeah, he doesn't wake up and go like, hey guys, how's everything going?
Okay.
Like, no, he dances to the Jamaican music.
I need to see this. Okay.
Well, you still should see it.
Yeah.
Andrew McCarthy, right? Isn't he the one?
Yeah.
He says that he was so drunk during filming, he doesn't remember filming it. Forgot it was made.
My kind of movie.
Good God. So. I like it. I like it a lot. Hey guys, Big Bang Theory. You know how they're ending their 12-year run this May. You might have been nervous about young Sheldon. Well, don't worry. Ugh,
I'm always nervous about young Sheldon.
Take some solace, because it's going to be on the CBS airwaves for at least 2 more years. The network handed out a 2-year renewal to the Big Bang spinoff. So just when we think we're losing all our friends over there on the Big Bang Theory, we've got young Sheldon to keep us happy.
How old is young Sheldon allowed to be before it's not young Sheldon anymore?
Until he gets into that Manny scenario?
Yeah.
I don't know. Middle-aged Sheldon?
Yeah.
That's, I mean, listen, I'm all for kids growing up and staying on TV, but it's going to get Malcolm in the Middle weird.
It is kind of going to get weird.
I mean, again, you mentioned Manny. He's 35. He's still playing the kids.
A lot of people don't know that.
Oh, yeah, people don't know that.
Some birthdays for you guys. We've got Rashida Jones, Sean Astin, Chelsea Handler, Jamila Jamil, and Ric Flair.
Woo! 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 Woo!
I just want to say that is not annoying.
No? Good.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, 936.
I think Noodles needs to let it fly a little bit more where he stands politically on his social media. Don't you guys? He's playing it pretty close to the vest, I think. I mean, it's okay to have an opinion, Noodles.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying. All right, Allie is here with our final look at what's happening here on this Monday morning.
All I know is last night I tweeted something about Chris Evans being, you know, just such a babe, first of all, and a gentleman. And I wound up tweeting something about, you know, that he will rub your feet and just talk to you about your day when you come home. And God knows he's always taking out the trash. And then Noodles wrote in all caps, back off, bitch, he's mine. And I was like, that's aggressive and a lot. But yeah.
I support it.
Yeah, I kind of support it too. So really sad news on Friday when a lot of people found out that Brody Stevens, who is... to say he's a comic, it just doesn't even brush the surface. Yeah, but
he was your favorite comedian's favorite comic.
Yes, that he had killed himself at his home on Friday. And it led to everybody sharing Brody Stevens' stories that, good God, the man had some of the funniest things ever to say. Here's the thing about Brody. You go and see Brody, you're from Ohio, you go to the Comedy Store and see Brody Stevens on the stage, you're wondering what the hell is happening.
Yeah, like, you might think he's bombing, but he's definitely not bombing.
He's
doing the best possible thing. It's so good. And he was just such a in-your-face, aggressive but loving person.
I wasn't familiar with him.
He's the a lot of people know him from The Hangover. He was in, you know, he's very close with Zach Galifianakis. You've seen him on Between Two Ferns. He was so funny, but also so tortured. Yeah. For many years, he's been dealing with mental illness. He really, you know, talked about it heavily on his television show on Comedy Central, where they went deep into it. But he had been, you know, kind of 51-50'd in the past, and people, I think, thought he was over those issues, and he was not. And it's a huge loss, not only for the comedy community, but the community in general. He was so funny.
Jensen and I, before the show, were sharing our Brody stories because he loved the 818. He loved the Valley. Yeah. It's where he was from. He loved
He's the most
baseball.
Possibly the most regional comedian of all time.
100%. Yeah. And when I met him, his first question, where'd you go to high school? And I said, Louisville. And he goes, Louisville, Woodland Hills, good girls. Like, that's just how he talked to
you. He would end sets. He would just go, all right, 818, Reseda, Van Owen, Canoga, Topanga. He would just start naming off all the streets.
Why?
Because it was just part of his act.
What he did. He would also, in the middle of sets, just start rattling off baseball stats.
I went to a Pac-10 school. ASU, great baseball player.
Yeah.
And he goes, my favorite dumb joke he used to say is he used to go, I don't follow Clayton Kershaw on Twitter. That's because we text.
When I told him I went to Louisville, and then he said, what's the brother school? And I said, Crespi. CIF champs. And then started listing their baseball.
Wow.
Like,
yeah.
Just unbelievable.
It is a huge bummer.
It's a huge bummer. And I wound up watching. He was always periscoped, and he would go on walks and periscope and answer questions that people were putting into his periscope. And he was very open on his last periscope that he had just switched back to Lexapro. He had been off for quite some time, and he was trying to get it back to the levels that he wanted it to be at. Mm. And a lot of people were wondering, is that it? Is that why?
That could take a while.
Absolutely.
Hey, yeah. I ran out a couple of weeks ago, and I felt terrible.
Yeah, it's awful.
For days. Yeah. Terrible. Didn't want to get out of bed.
It's awful. If you were
go through withdrawals.
Yeah. If you were a Brody fan, I worked with artist Steven Dressler to release a t-shirt today. It's a great sort of silhouette of his face, and it says 818 across his eyes. It's
love it.
Perfect for him. And we're giving 100% of every dollar made to both Brody's new GoFundMe, which is for his parents, I believe, to pay for funeral services. And then on top of that, we'll be sending it to a suicide awareness and prevention charity that we love. And you can go to Patti LaPelle, PattiLaPelle.com. I am such a fan. It is such a loss in comedy.
And I think we're all tweeting about it, and we'll all retweet your tweet at Jensen Karp with a K.
Every dollar.
Every single dollar. Yep. So, I mean, if you saw any of the people that were talking about their own Brody Stevens stories, every comic had just stories galore about him and just hysterical. Yeah. Chris D'Elia wound up tweeting out, I think he had done it on his podcast months ago, talking about his favorite night ever in comedy at the Comedy Store. And it was about him doing a set, just killing. And then the next person up after him said, you know what? Take my set. So he did another set, killed. And then the third person was doing it. Take my set. But the way that Chris D'Elia tells the story is just magic. And this is before his death. He was basically saying, if you haven't seen this guy perform, make a point of it.
Dick Van Dyke posted something on his Facebook, and I was really surprised because that doesn't make any sense. But Dick Van Dyke says, I don't know a lot of young comedians. I'm not in the scene. I'm not whatever. He said, but a friend had told me I got to go see this guy. And I showed up, and I've never seen anything like it. I was so involved in it that I asked him to take pictures, and I became a super fan of Brody Stevens, and he was like, it's such a loss. And I was like, that is such
Dick
a weird
Dyke,
world
right?
to cross over in, and it makes sense. If you've done comedy, what he did was fearless and strange and hilarious.
Everything that so many of us are terrified of.
Yeah, he
of
did.
Going up there and maybe not, a lot of times, not having a set, not having a point, and just seeing where it goes.
I mean, we do it every day.
We do it every day. But he did it.
But he did
nightly.
It well.
Yeah, he did it right.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
And anyway, rest in peace, Brody Stevens.
Absolutely. You guys, I just don't know about this Jussie Smollett thing.
There's more?
Every day there's more. But remember when Chicago police came out and said, listen, he wrote a $3,500 check to the guys. That was the payment for doing the hoax, essentially. Well, now the twins are saying, no, we testified before a grand jury that payment was for training. So for the cop to have come out and said that, is just a huge misstep in this whole thing. So apparently they're saying, no, 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 the $3,500 was for a workout program. So if that can hold, that they were in front of a grand jury testifying that, and then the police gave wrong information, you have just established reasonable doubt.
Mm.
This whole thing is a absolute bonkers mess.
I just hope that doesn't turn out to be like the Mark Furman.
Don't you feel like they have a lot more?
Yes, but...
You know what I mean? Like, maybe this case doesn't hinge on that one thing.
But...
Hopefully.
All you need is one person in a jury to go, that's kind of suspect right there. It's just insane. But also, we found out that R. Kelly was indicted on Friday on 10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse.
Canceled.
He went and turned himself in. There's a $1 million bond, and he didn't have the money. So they're saying R. Kelly could be in jail until midweek.
Woo!
And here's the thing. They're also saying that he owes back child support payments of about $170,000. So they may tack that on. So he can't be released until he pays that as well. So
how many kids is he supporting?
I think with his ex-wife, he had three, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not positive.
That is good. That
yeah, the fact that he didn't even have the money, the 10% of the million, so that's $100,000.
I would have thought he had that in a second. Wow.
Sketchy,
Looks
right?
like he has three kids, yeah. Jade, Joanne, Robert Kelly Jr.
So, interesting. Mm. Interesting stuff,
Robert Kelly Jr. is going to be wanting to change his name at some point.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. You guys remember way back in 2004, that halftime show, Janet Jackson briefly had her nipple exposed. Mm-hmm. FCC took swift action, fining CBS $550,000, of course, later overturned, but became a huge deal. That was a
exposed nipple through no fault of her own, either,
yes,
by the way.
Right. Yeah. FCC received more than 500,000 complaints over Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction. Well, The Hollywood Reporter claims that more than 50 complaints were made surrounding Adam Levine's exposed nipples. Like
really?
This one. No.
Oh.
No.
I wish.
This one.
Good.
I had to see some tattooed guy's nipples on TV with my family. It was not right. Janet Jackson should be issued a formal apology, and Adam Levine should issue a formal apology for showing his nipples and horrible tattoo choices on live television. Another complaint. I witnessed the exposure of nipples during the halftime show of the Super Bowl. My children were watching. If I wanted them exposed to the trash, I would just let them go hog wild on Pornhub. Adam Levine and the NFL need to be punished for such indecency. I mean, people delight me. People delight me. That's all I'm saying. People are wonderful. And Bean, you going to England anytime soon?
Not till March 20th. Why?
You might want to go a little bit sooner.
What's going on?
What's going on?
Because the British
nudist
group...
It's like a month from now. What's happening?
Yeah. The British nudist group, British Naturism, said they're hoping to have at least 103 people to participate in their March 2nd attempt to break the record for most naked riders on a theme park ride.
Well, make it 104. Yeah. I'm changing my flight.
Right? That's what I'm saying. The current record is 102 people. That was set back in 2010 in Essex, England. However, they're just asking you to bring a bathrobe, flip-flops or tennis shoes, and a towel to sit on, and a bag to store your clothes.
So, is it on the log jam?
I hope so. They said, here's the thing, the new attempt will take place on the notoriously bumpy Grand National roller coaster.
Oh.
I don't think you want bumpy if you're not, well, maybe that's why.
Mm, yeah.
Boobies flying all over the place.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's something cool.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, I'll be gone March 2nd, you guys.
Look, so. We understand as long as there's pictures being posted, I'm good.
Absolutely. Don't forget a towel to sit on.
All right.
Good God. Some birthdays for you. Sean Astin. He's a great guy. Let me just say, by the way, that we have forgotten something all morning long. And thank you to emailer Pavan Ramasetti, who said, please don't forget to play The Moment with Rashida Jones. Oh, you're
What's his
right.
name?
Pavan Ramasetti.
You go to hell, Pavan.
Here it is. Happy birthday.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the main one?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
We forgot it all morning.
kidding. Oh, that's upsetting.
I think we're good.
Okay. Happy birthday also to Ricky Flair, Jamila Jamil, and Chelsea Handler. And that's what's happening.
We had an awful lot of stuff on today's program. Lots of different angles on the Oscars coverage. We also had our old friend Mark Hoppus on the program today to break the news to us that we've been singing one of Blink-182's most famous songs wrong this whole time.
Also, he's so funny. It like
he's
hurts
great.
How funny
so
he is.
Good.
Yeah,
he's
good. I just bring all that up to remind you that we do have a podcast and you ought to be keeping up with it because there's no way anyone has time to listen to the whole show and you miss a lot of stuff. So get it wherever you get your podcasts. And we can also recommend KROQ.com and radio.com as well.
On your drive home, helps tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We're going to talk about weird allergies and people who...
Weird Al?
Weird allergies.
Oh.
Weird allergies.
I stopped listening.
Would you like to take that back tomorrow, Allie?
I mean, I was just helping today, putting it right over the edge.
And take us to the KROQ screening.